Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Welcome, 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 fellas. How are we doing this evening?
Good.
Good.
Fantastic. Thank you for joining us this evening on Talk Show. And the head of household, we got a good one for you tonight. But before we start, we got a couple rules. We just got to make sure that we go over. Rules haven't changed. No cursing, and respect each other's comments, concerns, or whatever they say. That's it. If we do that, we have a fantastic call. All right,
fantastic.
Let's get started. Topic tonight is unforgivable, unforgettable. You know, we put that in bold letters because that is a powerful statement. It really doesn't need any subtopics. It doesn't even need any subheadings. What is it about marriage that is unforgettable and unforgettable that we hold grudges against each other? That we keep it in our mind. A lot of men, you know, say all the time that, you know, I thought we were over with this, and you bring it up 3 weeks later or 3 months later. I thought you forgave me for this. Situation this week. Tiger Woods running in a tree. Everybody knows that you just don't drive out your driveway and run into to your own tree. You know, there's no mechanical issues going on there. His business was out in the street.
Oh, no.
And I think it's a point where he is now going through the unforgivable, unforgettable. I think we all go through it at some point in time. From a lie that we tried to cover up to just having a negative impact, doing something that has a negative impact on our family. That the spouse, either it being man or woman, just cannot forget. And why is this so important? Because we go through life doing the total opposite. I mean, we end up being hypocrites because we say one thing and do another. I mean, I think a true statement. We go in here and we tell our kids, I always tell the truth to do the right thing. However, we go right around, and we do the opposite. So we got a couple of things we want to go over tonight. We got 7 bullets, but if you have any, you know, bring them up this evening. A couple of them are, why should I forgive my spouse? I have done nothing wrong. Why should I forgive my spouse? I've done nothing wrong. The big payback. Can I really get even with my spouse? Sometimes I feel like I'm sleeping with the enemy. That's a powerful one. I have apologized, and my wife has, you know, my spouse, because this is men, my wife has forgiven me, but why does it keep coming up every time we have an argument? I struggle with the whole forgiveness thing. Does that mean I'm a bad spouse? Is there anything in marriage that is unforgivable? Why can't I deal with those reminders? What else is there? This is a topic that's so bold. The reason why it's bold, because it can go on and on. Sometimes we just can't see eye to eye. You know, your feelings and your emotions get in the way, and it's just hard to give up something. I have something that it took me a long time to get over, but I had to not forgive that person. I had to forgive myself because I had got myself so attached to this issue that it was killing my relationship with my own father. I brought it up last week in the conversation, but My father had got remarried, and I felt bad because he didn't ask me to be the best man. I took that to heart. And in doing that, I did things out of spite. So it doesn't have to be your spouse. It could be anything. For that, let's start with question number one. Why should I forgive my spouse? I have done nothing wrong. Anybody want to talk about that right now? Anybody been in that situation?
This is Deep. What's up, fellas?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on?
I think I had a situation where, I didn't think I did anything wrong from a male point of view, but it took me a good while, and it mainly had to do with a situation. We were out in public, and there was a friend of mine that, you know, I hadn't seen her in years. When I mean years, I mean to the point to where she didn't even know I was married. She didn't even know I was married. That's how long it's been. And when we was at the event, she came by, she gave me a hug. I said, hey, how you doing? And, you know, hugged back, and prior to, you know, me even getting a chance to even say, by the way, you know, this is my wife, I saw the attitude. And it took me forever to get past that. Well, you should have known. I'm like, I didn't know. You knew. I said, I really didn't know. You know, I think it was the type of hug, because it was, and the fact that I allowed the hug. It's like one of the things where my mind just shut down for a second. It's because we were so, I'm saying we were real good, we used to talk, but we was real good friends. And the fact that I saw her, I just, for an instant, forgot that I had a wife. And, you know, I kind of blamed myself, but at the same time, it was a hug. And I said, girl, it's been a long time. How are you doing? And then I looked. I'm like, damn, and now should I introduce her? You know, at that point, she had to look on her face like, who the F is this? I didn't cuss. But she's like, who the F is this? And I'm like, this is so-and-so. Hey, glad to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, you know, it was like, I don't forget that she's, you know, I was disrespectful. She said, that was very disrespectful. And I was trying to figure out, was that fact that I hugged her disrespectful? Or was the fact that I waited so long to introduce, but it was a matter of seconds.
Now, how was your tone, though? You know what I'm saying? Cause
my tone?
Yeah. Did you close your eyes when you gave her a hug? Did you last more than 5 seconds?
Really, to be honest with you, I really don't know. It'd be like, you know, if I ran into Tony and I said, what's up? I can't remember how I said, what's up. I just know we bond, chest. I don't know if I closed my eyes, looked to the left. Like, I don't know.
You know you didn't hug her like you'd hug Tony, so you need to stop.
I didn't do it like that, but what I'm saying is that I would have hugged her like I would hug any other lady, regardless, you know, if it was a relative or non-relative. You know, what?
I don't know. You just said you lost thought there.
No, I'm sorry. It's like, for instance, like my aunt. I hadn't seen her. When I hug her, it's like it's an embraced hug. It ain't like one of those, like, hugs. Not like that. It's just a warm, genuine hug.
Was it a church hug?
Huh?
Was it a church hug?
No, it's kind of hard to explain.
I think I got you, D. I think what happened she rolled up on you, and it was like, oh, hey, and then the hug happened within seconds, and then it's like, oh, man.
Did you get the full frontal hug?
Yeah, but it wasn't one of those hugs when she released. I was like, oh, Lord, that's so bad. It wasn't one of those. You know, it was just like, I'm glad to see you. I haven't seen you in a while. You know, how you been? Blah, blah, blah.
Did you apologize?
Well, at first, I didn't apologize because I'm sitting there wondering why she was sitting. I said, you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. So, you know, we had, you know, her function. I mean, we had a function. So, you know, I wasn't trying to make a scene. So we get in the car. She don't say nothing. So, you know, we driving. And I was like, what's wrong? Nothing. I said, you lying. I said, can you tell me what's wrong? So she's like, well, I just want to tell you what you did was very disrespectful, blah, blah, blah. And I said, what did I do? I said, what did you do? I said, the hug. I was like, shit. And I'm sitting there like, so, you know, I'm laughing, right? And I said, for real, I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry. I had no idea. But she didn't think that my apology was genuine. You know,
probably
I
because
I don't
of
know.
That laugh. Probably because you laughed.
Just mad over this hug. But, you know, it wasn't like I exchanged numbers. Hey, you know, let me get your number so we get in contact. Not like that, you know, because I lost contact.
So if the roles were reversed, if some dude came up and just sweep up your wife while you standing there and give a nice long embrace, would you have been upset?
I would have been upset, cool, but I was sitting there like, okay, let me know, explain to me who this guy is. And I said, okay, I understand. Now, I didn't cross that line. Like, she didn't cross. It wasn't like one of those hugs where someone, boy, you know, it wasn't like one of those. The hug had to be no more than a second and a half, if that.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a very long hug.
So after you made the first apology, the laughing apology, when did you, I guess, did she ever accept that one or you had to apologize again?
Well, she didn't see me the next day. She see me the whole day.
Wow.
So then I remember maybe the second day, you know, I'm sitting there. Hey, he's so mad.
Now, was it more of the hug or was it the introduction?
I never got around to the introduction because of her. Actually, I did, but her face, it was like I could have said she was Michelle Obama. It wouldn't have mattered. You know, it was just, in her mind, I don't believe he hugged her like this.
No,
and
she hugged you. It wasn't fucking her. Yeah, she hugged
you. But I think, to be honest, I think what did it, and, you know, the moment I thought about it, I said, look, okay. Because I really didn't get a chance to see, like, when I saw her, it was like, bam, she was right there in my face. So when she walked away, I never really got a chance to look at her when she walked away. But when I went to the bathroom, I noticed, I went, damn.
Language.
What'd
you find?
Oh, darn.
What'd you find?
I said, darn.
Gino.
Wow.
What'd you find?
Gino.
I said, what'd you find?
Gino. What's up, everybody?
Yeah.
What's happening?
And I think that maybe that's what it was because I never got a chance to look. She looked at it when she walked away. But it's like almost she dared me to look.
Well, I didn't look. Let's ask
a real question then.
Huh?
Well, if she was mad for you for a date, did she try to get you back? Was there a time where there was a hugger and you had to give a look like, oh, wait a minute, partner. Hold on.
Ours was a little bit different. It's like I was there and she felt to introduce me. That's when I got upset. I'm like, you know, I waited about a minute. I said, bro, by the way, my name is Derek. I'm a husband.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just looked at her.
How many years ago was this?
That could have been the payback of how she felt when.
Yeah, but see, I didn't dwell on it. You know, I don't dwell on stuff. It'll hit me that day, and after that, I'm done with it. You know, I ain't got time. You know, I got too many other stuff to worry about, to stress myself over stuff like that.
How long ago was this incident?
Oh, this was like early in the relationship, so.
Mm-hmm.
Does she bring it up still today?
She'd bring it up in a teasing way. It's like, you want to give me one of them hugs you gave? What's your name
for it?
The reason I say that, D, is because I had a, I don't know if it was similar, but it was, it might have been worse. But about 10 years ago, when me and the missus first got married, I had went out with my friends from work. You know, I started a new job, new gig or whatever, and it was supposed to be a group of people, you know, guys, girls. You know, it wasn't any. Everything was above board. And, you know, typically with my work friends, you know, she doesn't work in my field, so she's, you know, typically she doesn't even, you know, she doesn't ever want to go, you know. So I was, you know, declining the invites, you know, to hang out with my newfound friends, my newfound coworkers or whatever. So, you know, this time, you know, they asked me to go, and I was like, you know what, I'm going. And this was about 3 months into my marriage. And essentially, you know, I didn't even ask her to go, you know. And you know, so I got dressed, got spiffy and everything. And she was like, where are you going? And I was like, oh, I'm just, you know, hanging out with friends, coworkers. And, you know, she was like, oh, okay. So anyway, long story short, the group of guys and gals ended up kind of being like 3-on-3 because people didn't show up, you know, and it was just kind of a bad situation because one of the young ladies there was track, and you know, and that's basically in the back of my mind. I was like, yeah, I'm not inviting my wife. And you know, I didn't, you know, again, like Dee said, I ain't asked for a number, nothing like that. But you know, in the back of my mind, I was like, yeah, I can get some time, you know, to just hang out. You know, it wasn't anything where we would go to the hotel or anything like that. But you know, I like Dee said, I forgot for a moment that I was married. And you know, this is new in my marriage. But why I bring this up is because 10 years later, my wife still brings this incident up. And I've asked for forgiveness, and she's forgiven me, but it still comes up. And I'm just like, I mean, and it bothers me now because, I mean, it was 10 years ago. I mean, we've been through a lot of stuff, you know, since then. And
so
it's like, it's petty to
unforgettable.
Me. Exactly.
She won't forget the situation. She hasn't laid it go. Does that hurt a relationship, though? Does
absolutely.
That,
absolutely.
That,
I think if you argue about it, it will. But if you can joke about it, yeah, you know. You know, in our case, we
once you're forgiven, you're supposed to let it go. You're not supposed to bring it back up.
Yeah.
Because
it's just
an old wound. It's like an infection.
In the first few years, you know, after the incident happened, and, you know, because she's been bringing it up for 10 years. I mean, the first few years, it was like,
When you say bringing it up, is it bringing it up in an argument type of thing?
Well, you can bring it up and spark an argument.
Exactly. I think it's more that. It's not, you know, it's not like something that she'll throw out. Like, you remember you did that in 1990? It's not like that. It just kind of comes up in conversation, and then it leads to an argument because over the years it's gotten to be like, I mean, come on. I mean, let's just drop it. I mean, it was funny 8 years ago, but it's not funny anymore. I mean, just get over it.
I have another example, and I actually thought about, you know, these phone calls we had when it came up. You remember the conversation we had, you know, would you go out with your ex or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my ex called me, and, you know, we chit-chat every now and then. She already knows that, but she said, look, she said, you want to go to the Dallas-Washington game. I was like, bet, right? That's all I look at it as going to the Dallas-Washington game. So, you know, I said, Erica, I'm going to go to the Dallas-Washington game, Marnita. She looked at me like, huh? She said, I'm a date? This ain't no date. This is a football game. I said, I can meet her there. She said, well, is anybody else going? I said, I don't know. I said, it's a free ticket, right? And, you know, I can see where she's coming from, but me looking at it from a football point of view, I'm mad because I'm thinking, look, I'm strictly going for the game. I'm being straight up honest.
You're really mad, are you?
Yeah, but you really ask this girl to pick up her sleeve.
You might be saying that, but
D, I don't know if that's forgivable right there.
Let me explain. I'm the only Dallas fan that she knows that I really don't take it personal. She said other ones really take it personal to get all that. You know, I laugh about it, you know, but I really don't take it personal. If they lose, they lose. They win, they win. So be it. As anybody knows, I feel around, but I don't take it personal. So
you might be buying that,
but you
might be selling that, but we ain't buying that one, buddy.
No, I'm being serious.
You would be okay with your woman going to a football game with her ex?
If I knew beforehand that they was friends and communicated, yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Oh, please.
And I told her.
I think it's okay.
No, but look,
but
here's the other part of it. Here's the other part of it. I said, look, I would go as far as leave my cell phone on because it's Sunday, so it's free anyways. All day so you can hear the conversation.
You
can be
joking with the cell phone on.
I'm going to
tell me to be okay with you. If your woman came up and said, look, I'm going to the football game with you know, gunslinging Ed. You know,
yeah, but see, this is the same guy. But see, I'm thinking, okay, why is it okay for her to come to the wedding then? It was cool for her to come to the wedding. But then all of a sudden, after that, she said, well, I didn't think she was going to come. I was like, well, you should have said you didn't want her to come then. I said, let her come to the wedding.
Coming to the wedding and y'all going on a date to the football game is a whole different ballgame.
But why would you let an ex come to the wedding when they can spoil the wedding? She said, well, if they did that, you really want to marry me. I said, but I want to get myself off.
And she probably invited her so she could rub it in.
So you'd be running out that car.
A lot of women don't do that. A lot of women be like, "Hey, he's mine. See, we get married. You can come."
Exactly. Exactly.
That's a whole game. Super taking your woman to the game.
No, but see, the relationship I'm so honest, we actually are better friends. That's one reason. We're just better friends. We can't be together because it's a certain thing, but we are better friends. Okay. I'm saying she's attorney, too, so, you know. Huh?
But in the same sense, you send it a mixed message, you know. On one hand, you say, oh, yeah, come to my wedding. But on the other hand, you say, oh, we're going to the game.
I invited her to the wedding. My wife had the option to say yes or no. She said yes.
You're a tough
guy. Hey, Brian, I could see Tawanda going along with that.
Oh, hell no.
But, you know,
you think that's bad? I'm gonna throw a little scenario at you. I took my wife out for a birthday, and we were sitting down eating dinner, and one of her ex-boyfriends walked in the place. He saw us sitting down. He walked over to us, spoke to her, and he knew it was her birthday. And he just spoke and said, happy birthday. But then when he walked away, obviously he went where he went at and actually had cake sent over to the table.
He didn't even acknowledge you at the table. Came
see, that's
and said, happy birthday, and then sent the cake.
Look, and then had the nerve to come back and say, did you get the cake? And I sent two pieces. I'm like, I said, Slim, it was nothing wrong with you speaking. But kind of went overboard, you're about to get knocked out, right?
Oh, my goodness. Takeover. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It messed up our whole birthday, man. She was ate up with ignorance after that.
To get back to my point, I'm mad because I can't go to the game.
Oh my goodness!
Careful, this person has a different agenda.
How many chances you think I'm gonna get to get? I got good prime seats at the Dallas Washington game. Good seats.
You could have bought the tickets, man, to the game. I know it was a free ticket.
Man, she got attorney tickets. She got 50 yards.
Mm.
I think third, fourth row.
I don't know. I guess the bigger issue for me, fellas, is to continue chit chat with the ex as a friend. I mean, that's another night, you know. But and then the football game is just, you know, I don't know. That's a bit much. I think that's a bit much.
You can't win that one.
Still on it. We got a couple folks on here. Does anybody else have a story that we're on? Why should I forgive my spouse? I have done nothing wrong.
I know why you should forgive her if you wanted to keep your marriage. It really doesn't matter if you think you did something wrong. You see,
we talked about it. Now, and we're not talking about you actually going out here cheating or anything like that. It could be something as basic as you wash the clothes. And she says, you didn't do a good job. But you spent half your day, and all you wanted was a thank you. So now you don't wash the clothes. You don't even touch the clothes no more. Is that considered being unforgiving?
So basically what you're saying is you got to forgive her for not appreciating what you've
right.
done.
Yeah.
Because you've taken offense to it. And the Bible tells us that we can't take offense. And if we take offense to something that our wives have done or said, we're standing in judgment. You know, we're the one in the wrong. So we can't, if you call yourself a Christian, we can't take offense. And if we do, we need to step up and ask for forgiveness or ask that person to forgive us for taking that offense. Now, it doesn't matter if they're right or wrong. You could have been in there slaving all day, keeping the place clean or whatever it happened to be, or doing what you do, and they didn't appreciate you. You know, and we all know we like to do things and we like to get, you know, get honored for doing those things. But still, the Word of God tells us that we don't have the right to take an offense, just like
right.
Jesus didn't take an offense.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to give you all a real life scenario, man, as y'all asking the question, I didn't really realize or understand until years later that I actually held a defense against my wife. I mean, to be totally honest with you, probably for about 7 years. 7 years of not really realizing that I had a defense. Because, you know, I had entered into a marriage, and I was married to this woman, like, for the first 5 years. We had never even had an argument. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he come up with a scenario saying that, you know, she wanted to get divorced because she married the wrong person.
Hmm.
Not married the wrong person as in me, but as in that she was not supposed to marry me because her relationship was supposed to have been with God. Okay? That she was not supposed to get married, but she got married, so she married, you know, wrongly. So she felt that she needed to get out of the marriage. And we went back and forth for a whole year. Nonstop arguments, communication, separation in church, everything that you could possibly imagine. But
is this when you were in the basement?
Oh, yeah, that was it. I was in the basement for a whole year. Just straight up agony. And it was just pure crazy.
Is this when you told me you were going out to get some?
Yeah. But and what I'm saying is, but the principle of the matter is what I was trying to make out was that I didn't realize how much it really had taken effect on me and how much I had unforgiveness in my heart towards it, because it was a long time. It was a long time after the fact that I could believe anything that she was saying to me, because, you know, they get some timing, meaning that they'll say, well, you know, everything's going to be fine, and, you know, we're going to work this out the next minute, you know, get wishy-washy, saying, well, I just can't do it. We, you know, we have to separate. And you think and understand, I did nothing wrong. I did nothing to cause the problem. It's just that years later I found out through conversation that it was unforgiveness that she had towards her ex-husband that she had never gotten rid of. But because I married her and we were not two whole people, that was my problem.
And wow, and that brings up a great point. Does that harm your marriage because your wife hasn't forgiven something that somebody else has done, and now you're getting the blame for what somebody else has done in a relationship?
Exactly, and that's what harmed my marriage. And that really affected me, because all I did was the right thing in my marriage. And, you know, we as men, we look for the normal scenario that, oh, yeah, you must have done something wrong to have this, you know, to have this come about. What did you do? That's the first question that's always asked. What did you do?
Right.
But it was nothing. It had nothing to do with me, but everything to do with the unforgiveness that she held for another situation that she had never healed from.
Wow. Anybody speak?
That kind of stems back to what we talked about before. Research. You know, and like I said, I've done, you know, some research. And, you know, some of my situations probably could have been avoided. You know, it was my first engagement. I realized that I was being penalized for, you know, what this bum didn't do. I was just like him, but, you know, it's like, what? I didn't even know he was in the picture. And by the time I found out, oh, you just like him, just like who? You know, and I really wasn't like him, but it's almost like if I said I was going to call at 9, I call at 9:15, where were you at? I was like, I ain't had no quarters. You know, because back then, you know, I had no cell phone, so it really came down to using a pay phone. So if you paged me, I couldn't just call you back right away. So it's kind of like, you know, the insecurity part of it is what, you know, kind of ruined us.
Right. And with me, mine was more or less like, dude was an abusive dude. So even though I didn't ever physically put hands on her or do anything to her, if I said something that caused her to remember anything that pertained to that situation, it was almost like...
So it could
like
have been a verbal abuse also. But, that.
Well, it wasn't even verbal abuse. It was this conversation. It was this conversation. And if anything reminded her, if any overtones or anything came out, it was mad crazy for a long time. I'm talking about a year. nonstop. Talk about damaging to a relationship, man. I mean, it took me a long time to heal because I had a hard time dealing with forgiveness on that, man. I had a hard time dealing with accepting, you know, the outcome after the fact, because all I can think of was that I did nothing wrong.
And what did you end up having to do? Did you have to forgive yourself?
I had to forgive myself for not forgiving her. You know what I'm saying? Because it took me years to get past it, man. I mean, to the point that, you know, the feeling and the love that I have for the person was there, but I couldn't express it because I didn't know what to expect next.
So how did it feel to forgive yourself?
Was
it like a relief taker, just like a monkey just coming right off your back, or you?
When I learned to forgive myself is when I can get past it. You know what I mean? When I didn't forgive myself first, I would always focus on her and always make her the problem, but yet realizing that, you know, I had a part to play in it just the same.
So it was easier to put it on somebody else, and then
Absolutely, very easy to put it on somebody else, because we always do that. We want to focus on them because you've done nothing wrong, and that's where I was at. I had done nothing wrong.
Has anybody else ever had that same problem? Can we help? Can they help out in this situation here?
I had it kind of from the opposite end, and I don't know if any of y'all have done things in your marriage or stepped out or anything like that. I mean, you were talking about, like, Brian not doing anything to cause the situation. But if any of you guys have done anything that has caused, you know, these kind of situations, and then they say, okay, I'm going to forgive you. Anybody done something like that? Man, y'all some perfect brothers. Well, I'm going to tell you about me. Because that was a situation I went through with my ex-wife. And for years, she would just bring it up over and over and over again. And she'd say, I forgive you, but. And use that as a weapon. That's really what ended up destroying the marriage. It wasn't the infidelity. It was the payback. And that's what it ended up to being, to using it as a tool of payback to her stepping out and saying that it was my fault that I caused her to do that. And, you know, and then constantly for years just bringing it up and what you did, you know, 5 years ago. And the truth of the matter is, if you keep bringing it up, you haven't truly forgiven. And even if you bring it up jokingly, people say things in jokes that they really want to say, but they use humor as a way to say it. Deep down, if you know that somebody's hurt by something, you're not going to keep joking about it. And you know, if you tell me this hurts me when you do that, yet you keep doing it, you're trying to hurt me. You know, so I think forgiveness at the core is not a situation that we show up here with. We show up on this planet with two things, payback or defense. If you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. The way I grew up in New York, if somebody hurt you, you hurt them back harder so they won't do it again. If somebody hits you, you hit them harder so they won't hit you again. If not, you're going to be a punk and somebody's going to punk you. And that was just the way I grew up. So if you did something to me, I'll do it harder back to you so you wouldn't do it to me again. And this is just how I thought you were supposed to be, because everybody where I grew up, that was the way it was. You hurt me, I hurt you back, okay? So we show up with one or two things, either payback or defense. You hurt me, I'm going to defend myself. Nobody else is ever going to hurt me or get close enough to hurt me again, because I'm not going to let somebody hurt me. So we build walls around ourselves not to let somebody in, just like what Brian was talking about. You know, his wife built walls around herself because of the hurt from her first marriage. And then when he got close and he touched those areas that, you know, that reminded her, then she lashed out. And the only way we can truly, in my opinion, experience true forgiveness is accept forgiveness for ourselves. And accept, in my opinion, Christ's forgiveness of what we've done. And once we can truly understand that he's forgiven, he knows all of our stuff and it doesn't matter and he's forgiven us, then if we can accept that, then we can look at others that have hurt us and truly ask the Lord to help us forgive them. Because it's not an easy thing to forgive somebody that's really, really hurt you to the core. You know, we can forgive people that, you know, on the surface, but when somebody reaches down and rips the inside of you out, it's not an easy thing. I think it's a process that takes a long time to really, you know, accomplish.
Wow. So sometimes we do that. Is that just in the men's handbook that regardless of what situation we're going through, we put it back on the other person? We take it off us?
I think that would be our first defense. You know, what you did to me, you know, it's kind of like that goes back to the beginning. What did Adam say? You know, that woman you gave me. Wasn't me. If you hadn't given her to me, I wouldn't have had to do what I did. I think that's the nature of us as humans to, you know, to look at ourselves as okay. And if you hadn't done this, you wouldn't have made me do this or that. When my daughter was younger, she used to say, well, this girl made me mad. Nobody can make you mad. You decide how you're going to react to something. You know, but we want to put it on somebody else. Well, if you hadn't done this, I wouldn't have had to do this.
And that's a good analogy, Andrew, about the Adam and Eve thing, because if you really think about it from the perspective you just spoke on, and if you think of how God responded to it, when he said that, when he accused God of the woman that he gave him, God said, well, she came out of you. So basically, it was already in you.
Hmm.
So we try to flip the script about things that's already in us anyway.
I think one of the hardest things for me was to look at the man in the mirror and see that it was me.
Oh, yeah.
When, you know, the hardest thing for me was to forgive myself. When the Lord flipped the mirror up in front of me after I'd gotten saved and I'd seen what I had become, and that was the hardest thing. I could forgive others, but to forgive myself was the hardest part of it. And that took a long time. I could accept, you know, somebody else and forgive them, but to forgive myself, if anybody's ever done something like step out on their wife or anything, you know, really egregious like that, one of the hardest things to do is to look at you and accept full responsibility and, you know, realize there's some evil, nasty stuff up in me.
Yeah, and I found that out too, Andrew, because when that stuff was happening with me, what I found out was that my attitude towards women changed in general. So I really wasn't that kind, regardless of who it was.
Is that when you became homosexual?
Because I felt this wild boy. yeah, right. And what nightmare was that? But I found myself being very hurtful towards people, you know. And lashing out, and almost like they became enemies, you know. Because it was like an onslaught of her friends and other people being brought in, and this person, that person. It was just crazy, and I was just like, and matter of fact, I must be honest with you, and I gotta ask for forgiveness myself. It's still one of her friends to this day. I can't stand her. I can't say the word, but you can figure it out.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm serious too. Believe me. I couldn't stand it. I mean,
it's really funny that you say that, because when I met Brian's wife, I was in the throes of going through a really difficult divorce, and a lot of her ways at the time reminded me of my ex-wife. A lot of Brian's wife's ways, and I didn't get along with her much at all. Because of the unforgiveness I was carrying toward my ex-wife.
Oh, yeah.
And that unforgiveness seeps into every area of our life.
Well,
Well, if I may, let me throw in a monkey wrench to this thing. I think it's about time.
Please. Please do.
Why is it that we're so quick to forgive our children, but slow to forgive our spouses, our wife? Why is that? Why are we so quick? You know, I got two little ones, and, you know, they can break up some and tear up, you know, and then all they got to do is say, oh, I'm sorry, Daddy. Oh, you're forgiven. I mean, it's just like that. But, you know, when it comes to my wife, if she acts up and then she asks for forgiveness, I'm like, eh, I'll think about it, you know. Holler at me in a few hours or a few days or whatever. But, you know, why is that we're so quick to forgive our kids and not so quick to forgive our wives? Why is that? Or our lady friend?
Well, they, you know, your kids, you know, they, for the most part, they're sincere. But what with your wife, it seemed like, with my wife, it seemed like she just want things to be done with. So it's like, we're out here to forgive me, I'm sorry. And I'm not, you know, at one point I was listening to this message and I heard forgiveness and hurt. It's almost, for somebody to understand the hurt they've taken you through, it's almost like a transferring of the feeling. It's like for them to honestly forgive. And maybe it don't happen right away, you know, but with a child, I think it's more, they're sincere and they want to move on. But, you know, sometimes, and I guess I can't even come off that way sometimes, you know, maybe it's not sincere. Because I really ain't thought about the hurt that I caused somebody until months later it actually kind of dawned on me. And, like, I actually feel the hurt. And it's you know, then I could be more sincere.
So you think it's just the kids are more genuine with it and the wife is just like, I'm tired of arguing, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's just, come on, let's go to bed, you know. I'm sorry, forgive me, you know, I didn't know, you know, and it's not, you know, as genuine as, you know, and it's, you know, it's the person on the other end, you know, how you're receiving what someone's saying to you, you know, and... You know, that's why I always, for me, it's like I always, you know, study people's body movement when they're talking to me. Because it's like, you know, I was looking at this show last night, it, like, lied to me. And it's like, that's what I do. I mean, if I can't see it in your eyes and how you doing, I'm just thinking in my mind, you ain't serious, you know.
I think, like, with me, I'm saying, you know, to some degree I agree and then I disagree because, kids can sometimes be manipulative rather than sincere, but when I look at a kid, I say, a kid ought to know better. And then when I look at my wife, she knows better. So it's sort of like she knows better and where the kids ought to know better. And that's the way I look at it. You know, it's like if the wife went out and came back 5 o'clock in the morning, she knows better. If your kid did it, you ought to know better. You know better, but then you know what? You ought to know better. Or maybe I can get away with it and sneak in. Well, wife, there ain't really no excuse. You know better. So that's the way I look at it. So, you know, as the kids get older, then it becomes, okay, yeah, you know better now. Like, you know, my mom, I couldn't run it past my mom now. You know better. There ain't no, you ought to know better. You know better. Because now I'm up age. So
well, I guess it could. Oh, go ahead.
Huh? For me, you know, that's the distinguish, you know, the major difference is where, you know, they're at the age now where they ought to know better. But do they truly know better? Yes and no. As they get older, yeah, you know better.
So it also could depend on the age of the child.
Yeah, as I'm saying, as they get older, so it really depends on the age. But the wife, she's of age, hopefully.
Hopefully.
One thing about it, when you talk about the children, and I don't know, a lot of times our children aren't in a position to hurt us the way our wives are, okay, or our husbands are. I don't know if anybody has had a child really, really hurt them. but I have, and it was very difficult, you know, to get over it. And when your child really hurts you, it's as devastating, if not more, than when your wife does.
Hmm.
You know.
But do you really think your child though sit down and really, you know, like comparing your wife to your child, do you think your child really can sit down and just go through the motions of, hey, this is how this is gonna end up and this is how he's gonna hurt, like your wife can? She can actually, if she decides to go step out or do whatever, she can actually go through her mind like this is really gonna hurt. You know, with a child, you know, really,
it's more disrespectful with the child and not really hurt, is it? I mean, can you really get to the point where you cannot forgive your child?
It's not about, I'm just saying that most of us don't have situations with our children that things are done that, you know, at a level that can really hurt us the way our wives can.
Yeah.
All right. Now I don't know if you've been there, but I've been there with a child that's really, really hurt me. You know, and that was a very painful, very difficult thing. And all those same emotions, you know, came to me that, you know, that a wife, you know, had with those kind of things. But the other part of it is, I think we look at it a little bit different than with the spouse. I mean, you're not going to divorce your children. Well, some people do. But, I mean, really, you know. But I think it's you know, very difficult because we don't usually, children generally can't hurt us the way a spouse can hurt us.
No, usually when a child hurts, it's to get attention. I don't think a child hurts on purpose. I think a child hurts to get attention, to that is their way of reaching out.
Can I throw a monkey wrench in?
Yep.
I think we're basing a lot of the emphasis on who has the right to forgiveness and who gets the favoritism towards forgiveness, whether it be the wife or the child or whatever. I think my opinion is it can be a little warped because you're playing favoritism on one of the other parties. Forgiveness is pretty much a maturity level. It's pretty much grown man business, in other words. And I'm going to throw a scenario out there. Does anybody, well, I guess everybody can remember the Virginia Tech massacre.
Yeah.
And the father came on television and said, the guy just murdered my child and I forgive him. Do you think somebody that with that level of matureness and forgiveness would have said, I'm going to forgive my wife faster than I'm going to forgive my child? Do you think it would have been an issue, or would it have been just a matter of whoever is wrong gets forgiven? You see what I'm saying? Would that person kind of pick sides? You see what I'm saying? So I think that we're all at certain levels of forgiveness. Now, I don't know if I'd be strong enough to forgive the man that's just killed my child. You see what I'm saying? But some other people are. I don't know if I'd be, you know, that person. So I think that we all deal with certain levels of forgiveness, and that we have to figure out where we are, and then that will probably answer that question.
I think one thing that we have to mention that we haven't talked about is that one thing about forgiveness is you have to confess with your mouth. I mean, you have to ask for forgiveness. And in that case, with the Virginia Tech situation, of course, the gentleman was deceased. You know, he was, I don't know if he took his own life or somebody took him out, I can't remember. But, you know, in that case, he could not have asked that father, those, you know, parents or brothers or sisters or whoever, he couldn't ask them for forgiveness. So, you know, I think it's admirable, you know, like you said, for the gentleman to get up and say, I forgive him, you know.
It's the same scenario that happened with those children in the
Amish community,
the Pennsylvania situation. The way those you know, families reacted and actually went to, you know, went to the side, you know, to the aid of the people and the families of the people that, you know, that did the shooting. I don't know if I'd have it in me to do that. I hope I never have to know. But I mean that's an uncommon, you know, I mean. Wow.
Well, really, Andrew, think about how that guy, I mean, think about, you know, and God forbid anybody has to go through that, but think about that parent. Think about how he felt just releasing that and forgiving the guy that murdered his child versus being angry and being, you know,
bitter. I agree
bitter
with you
about
100%. I believe that it would have to happen. I don't know if, you know, 2 days later or a day later or that day I could come up and say, well, I forgive this person.
But
for me, it would be a situation that, you know, I would really need the Lord to help me to get to that point.
Yeah.
Go ahead. But that's where I am. You know, this person obviously is at a level that I'm not at. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could go to that funeral and really in my heart have that kind of forgiveness that just blew away my 6-year-old baby girl. You know, I don't know if I could sit there with a guy that just raped my, you know, little girl and killed her, that I could say, I forgive you, and in all honesty, you know, to be at that point. Now, hope, you know, the goal is at some point to get there, because I wouldn't want to share that. But to be able to do that day or the next day, I don't know if I have that in me to do that. I know I don't have that in me to do that. I don't know if the Lord would help me at that point to do it, but that would be a difficult one for me.
And those are good words, Andrew. Those are really good words. But
now,
hey, is that somebody's phone? Did
somebody
hear that?
Water. Somebody's running water or something in the background.
Somebody got some feedback in the background?
Let's see.
See if it's Northern Virginia. Just came on.
Oh, I'll hear it on this end, T.
Y'all
hear it?
I hear it.
Okay, what it sound like? It may be me.
It sounds like
I got some earphone coming in.
Yeah, so anybody got a Bluetooth or a speaker or sometimes different type
of... Yeah, I got some.
Yeah,
well,
take a Bluetooth.
I'm plugged up into the internet, so I don't know if that's affecting.
Yeah, there we go.
That's it.
Oh, we came
okay.
back.
Yeah, that was me.
Okay.
Oh. All right.
That's you?
Oh. Can you fix it?
Yeah, now it's gone.
Now it's gone.
Yeah, like I was saying, Andrew, good words, man. I believe that has got to be a goal for us to at least get as close to that kind of forgiveness as possible. Because if not, I mean, you know, we all walk in our own separate walks, but that's got to be the ultimate goal, is to get that level of forgiveness.
Okay.
So we don't carry around any of that drama.
And
that phone is horrible.
Well, now we got to we have to go to the slot. Okay? I mean, you have the forgiveness part, but let's throw the monkey wrench. Do you ever forget?
And you know, forgetting it is hard. I'm saying I think you kind of stretch it. You know, even with, you know, not in relationship, but just like with my dad, you know, I forgive him. But you know, I can never forget, because you know, it's difficult. It's a situational thing. So, you know, it depends. But if the fact that you haven't forgot is driving you to not forgive, then you're never going to forgive. And, you know, it's like, you know, I can forget, but all at the same time, I can be more vigilant of what's going on and what's being said, you know, rather than being, you know, plain naive. You know, it's sort of like if say your wife cheated on you, okay, and you let it go, you forgave her, you're never going to forget, because now your eyes going to be open. Now, should they be open? You know, it's kind of hard to say, but, you know, I figure if it took the man was strong enough and willing to forgive, then somewhere in the back of his mind, he's going to have to say, okay, could this happen again?
Right.
And did I see the signs? And the signs may have been there, but he probably just overlooked them. Now, the fact that he knows it's there, you know, he's not going to forget. You know, and he may, you know, like I said, he may not, but for me, I know I couldn't forget.
to forgive.
I don't think you can ever forget.
That, you know, I can forgive, but I'll never forget. But is that actually the right thing to have?
Because when it comes down
parallel
to forgetting,
I look at it like any situation. Like I look at, you know, because back in the when I came from Germany to Alabama, I was a revolutionary. I was Malcolm X, power to the people. I was all that. So I don't know if there's any white people in here, but I was hating white people because at that point, I was reintroduced to what was happening. Now, I forgave, but I haven't forgotten, but I'm not letting the fact that what happened dictate what I do today. You know, I don't view people like that. But don't get me wrong, if something was to happen, I'd say, okay, yeah, I can see why. But at the same time, I'm not letting their hatred and whatever happened in the past dictate my future. It's still there, but it's not dictating what I do.
You know, when it comes to forgetting, I don't think that's realistic. It's kind of like if, you know, all of us, you know, in life, we've broken a bone, we've gotten a cut, we've got some kind of scar, something happened. You know, we were 6 years old, 8 years old, whatever, 20 years old, we fell down, we cut our arm, and we've got a wound or a scar there. And, you know, when we touch it now, it doesn't hurt. Because it's healed, all right? But we can look at it and remember, this is what happened, and this is what caused this scar, all right? So we never forget. But if there's still pain associated with it, if we touch it, that means it's not healed. And that's what happens to us in relationships. The only difference is we can't see the scars. We can't see the pain. But if there's some things in a,
Please fix the noise, man. Can you find the noise, Patrice, and mute it out?
I'm trying. I can't get the mute. Mute's not working.
What do you mean? You just got to hit on each button.
I did. I'm going down the line. I just can't get it.
Is it not not functioning?
Nope.
Because you may need to log back off and log back in and then use the mute button.
Oh, yeah, you logged off.
Yeah.
It won't stop the recording, will it?
No, you're good. Go ahead, Andrew. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Andrew.
No, what I was saying was that, in relationships, when things happen to us, they hurt. The deeper the hurt, you know, the longer it's going to take to heal. But if it doesn't heal, then any time we touch it, it's going to hurt. I mean, if we get a cut on us and we don't let it heal, and somebody starts to touch it, we're going to react. It's a man that hurts. Don't do that. And if somebody starts to touch it again, then we're ready to fight. Okay, because I don't care if you haven't let it heal for 2 years, it's going to be festering with infection. And that's what happens in our emotional life when somebody hurts us. Because we haven't allowed that to heal, and the only way to healing that is through forgiveness. All right, and if we haven't healed that, we've just covered it over, then when somebody touches that area in our life, we react. We lash out, or we defend ourselves. But if we, you know, if we get to the point of healing through forgiveness, you know what? Yeah, my wife had an affair, but when you touch that, there's no more pain. You know, Brian talked about being in the basement, okay? And now that it's healed, there's no pain involved, but he still has that scar. He can look at it and go, yeah, I was in the basement for a year, all right? This was the time that if Brian talked about that, all the anger would come out. I knew him at the time. Okay? So now that...
You're exactly right, because, you know, the definition of forget is to cease or fail to remember, to be unable to recall, and it's that, you know, that would never happen, you know, no matter, you know, like he said, you know, with a bike accident and you were a five-year-old or, you know, something your wife did or something that happened. I mean, you'll never be able to forget it because it happened. You know, but you have to move, you know, you have to forgive and move past it, you know, and it's almost like you have to forget it in a way to, you have to neglect it willfully, you know, to disregard it purposefully. You know, to fail to think of on purpose. But again, you know it's there. You know, you have to actually not, you know, just just force yourself not to think of it or not to dwell on it.
I heard this message once while someone spoke on forgiveness, and the way they explained it, and I really got it, like when I my mind, you know, God started really dealing with my mind. When you're not gonna forget, you know, like you guys said, it's just the sting go away, you know, the really painful part of it go away. You don't forget it, but it's like. It's almost like, you know, I remember listening to Martin Luther King, and he said, how do you love someone that's spitting on you and lynching you? You love the person. You don't love the act, you know. But it's like it's when when that true forgiveness takes place, you're actually separating that person from the act of what they're doing, what they actually did or something. How many times have we heard about infidelity actually saving someone married? You know, because at some point I'm thinking that they got past the actual act of why this happened and got into, this is the person I love. You know, this is the person I want to be with for the rest of my life. I want to make it work. And I'm not going to let act. And I'm sure they think about it. It's like they don't think about it in the sense of, you know, just, oh, I can't believe you slept with somebody else.
So basically what you're saying is that in that instant, it may have been an eye-opener somewhat. Like, okay, you know, I've neglected you that much that you have to go sleep with somebody else. So now that person may forgive them and then try to be on their game a little bit better.
I'm thinking that it brings it out because I really don't feel infidelity is per se the problem. I think it's the smoke. It's like, you know, I think there's a fire going on, you know, somewhere in the house. And it's like sometimes it takes something, you know, it's simple, or it's not simple, but sometimes take infidelity to expose the problem. It's just, you know, infidelity is just a symptom that there is a problem, and it's like it takes that to bring it out, and it, like, you know, it has to blow up, you know, for somebody to actually, because, you know, the guy that was talking earlier that said about I think, wife dealing with the abuse issues. I'm like, okay, one of my questions would be, like, okay, did she bring it up before? Or it took the going to the basement and all that, but it really to bring out everything that she felt, you know, and that's what, you know, and sometimes that's what it takes to get forgiveness out. Because if you don't, you know, if you don't talk about it, it's like it's almost like a little seed that just keep growing and keep growing and keep growing until it's like elephant in the room. Well, you can't avoid it no more. You know, now you're gonna have to talk about it.
That's a good point, man. Because what it does, it renders you defenseless because you can't respond to something you don't know.
So is that something
exactly
that we can move? That's moving into our next topic here, and that's sometimes I feel like I'm sleeping with the enemy. Is that something that infidelity does? Is that, you know, you go into bed with somebody that you know has done this, who has stepped out of the home? And it's
yes, man, yes. Yes, for sure. I mean, because now you don't know. You know what I'm saying? What's on the back of your mind is, you know, what did she do with dude? You know what I mean? What did dude do to make her react in a certain way? You know what I mean? She might have some lingerie. Go ahead.
What did he say? What was his thought? What was her thought?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the elephant in the room. That's the elephant in the room right there, the unknown. Because now you don't know where her loyalty lies. She could say, okay, you know, I'm sorry. I did it because X, Y, Z, whatever the case may be. But still, you don't know her loyalty lies. Because in the back of your mind, you're like, is she still thinking about dude? You know what I mean? Do I got to watch her now?
Yeah.
Well, when you say
hello?
Oh, go ahead. Hello? Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, brothers, how are you? This is Walter. This is Walter Briggs, man. I just chimed in a little bit ago, but I've been listening, and I the statement that you just made, Big Brother, forgive me, I don't know your name, but I've been invited by Bino to be a part of the communication here.
Welcome,
from Orlando,
welcome,
Florida. What I'm listening to you guys saying, and what the brother just said about being an elephant in the room. That is kind of like being an elephant on your back as opposed to being in the room because you got to carry him around. But then again, the most feared thing, if an elephant does not fear anything in the whole world besides a mouse. So I'm going to use the analogy of the fact that, you know, I'm going to try to make myself that mouse because I'm scared a little bit too. I listened to what you said about the fear. The fear is definitely there, but what have I done? Got to check myself first, too. Because,
sure.
You know, the only fear that I should ever have is the fact that I know I didn't do nothing wrong. Okay, so I'm just chiming in. So if I'm wrong, tell me, gentlemen. But I know I have, or either I know that I can't. But what did I say or do to make her even want another brother? But what in her mind makes her think that in the back of her mind that, you know, I've done something wrong, too. You know, she's probably thinking the same thing. So it's kind of the diversification of, you know, you really don't know. So that's what really the fear is. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I think that's what the fear is the unknowing.
The unknowing. So the unknowing is what keeps the attitude and the unforgiveness.
That's right. That's right. And to answer your question, there are no wrong answers on this call. None whatsoever. So.
None.
I would even go as far to say that, you know, unknowing is one aspect of what keeps the attitude and it going on, but it's also the fact that, you know, if this is my wife and she's done it to me, I'm taking it personal. I mean, that's something personal where you stepped outside of the marriage for whatever reason, you know, because I was there saying the vows just like you were, whatever we agreed upon, whatever it meant. Where we said for better or for worse, to work through it, to talk, to communicate, and all these things. And if that doesn't happen and you decide to step out, then that's personal. So it becomes very hard to forgive and forget. I mean, there's nothing that can be done.
Scenario that somebody brought up on the phone, here's almost a monkey wrench, that I remember we had a couple calls back early this summer. A new user called in, a new gentleman called into our conference call, and he discussed that he was in the armed services. I don't know which one it was. And he went away for a while. And when he got back, he found out that his wife had stepped out on him. But he forgave her. And he was really ready to work on that marriage. A lot of brothers on that phone could not believe that this was a forgivable mindset that he should have had, that they would have removed themselves from the marriage. Who is right in that situation?
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me just throw something out there to speak to that point. Let's just say you're really in love with your wife. Let's say you really enjoy your wife's company. Y'all are best friends. It's all good. You know, she's the woman for you, blah, blah, blah. All that is great. I mean, you just love being around this woman. But then she got weak. And then something happened that made her step out. I don't know. Maybe she felt as though you weren't paying attention. You were working too many hours. Whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? So then now you're at a crossroads whether you, one, you forgive her. Because to forgive her is to also benefit yourself, because now you're still remaining with this person that you love to be with, or you don't forgive her and then you lose it all. You see what I'm saying? So it's kind of like you're in a situation where you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Excuse my French, but does that make sense?
In that situation, you have to forgive her whether you stay married to her or not, because if you don't, you're going to destroy you. Because you're never going to be able to have a successful relationship after that, because you're always going to think, this woman's going to hurt me too.
Well, other
and that I will agree, because I mean I think somebody said it just this evening on this call, is that you'll carry this stuff into another relationship, and he ended up sleeping on the couch because of some other man who mistreated his wife.
So what are the different the different levels? Don't mind me interjecting, brother. What are the different levels of forgiveness? I mean, you're talking about your heartstrings, as opposed to you loaning somebody some money that they never paid you back, and you got to forgive them because you know that they did wrong and they were not supposed to or whatever. But this is a person that you sleep with, you eat with, you supped with, but yet and still we are all Christians, at least we hope we all are, that, you know, I'm a Christian brother, and God says to forgive thy brother, so on. If that was the case, you know, how do I forgive when I know that I have to forgive certain situations, or how is this situation differentiate between other forgiveness situations? It's still going to be the same scenario as the very beginning of this conversation of, you know, how do you forgive and how do you forget?
Well, you
and
said
it how do we do
that? I believe you said the most powerful thing on this call today, and you said, what is the level of forgiveness?
Yep, and not to cut you off, Patrice, but you even answered the question as you were saying it, because when you bring up the Christian aspect of it, it all depends on where you are on your walk.
Exactly.
That's
right.
That's where your level of forgiveness comes. You may be struggling with forgiveness, or you may have it down to a science, like the man on the Virginia Tech situation. He had it down to a science. He already knew, I got to forgive this man. I have to forgive him. A lot of
you
them aren't there yet.
Let me cut you off right there, brother. Too. Let me tell you why I made that statement, and I hope you guys understand why I'm making that statement. It's because I just went through a scenario where I had to beg forgiveness from my woman. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
Do you understand me?
Oh, yeah.
So therefore, I feel the pain of I felt the pain because I know I was wrong, but yet and still, I've been married twice. Where I've had scenarios where they were wrong. So just why I made the statement of levels of forgiveness, whether it be money or whether it be the honey of your honey. You understand? That's the reason I made that statement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that what we got to, you know, make sure that we, you know, mention too is, you know, like I said earlier, is that, you know, if somebody asks for forgiveness, I mean, we got to forgive them. I mean, when we ask Jesus for forgiveness, he's not like, oh, I want you to do this. I mean, he knows whether you're sincere or not, but, you know, when somebody asks for our forgiveness, you know, we basically got to forgive them because, you know, we can't say, oh, well, I don't like that apology, or I'm not accepting that. I want you to run around the yard a few times before, you know, I accept your apology. But, I mean,
One more thing, Rodney. What if they don't ask?
Well, then you still have.
Don't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Don't matter.
Because let's be honest. Let me throw a question out there. Is there anything as perfection? Do you want a perfect wife?
As close to it as possible. Just being
you want
honest.
Somebody who is not going to, you know.
I don't know if I could handle a perfect wife because I would see so much of my imperfection and think I wasn't worthy.
My point exactly.
I would be okay.
as long as we're, I mean, because all she
but it was ready to communicate more.
Then Eve would never touch the apple, right?
Ideally, you know, we're striving for perfection, right?
We're striving, right. But we'll never get there.
Yeah, we'll never get there. I mean, we know that, but I mean, we should be striving for as close, you know, to perfection as we can be, you know.
Or should we be striving for as close as perfection as we should be, or close to as our walk with God should be? There's a difference.
Walk with God.
Yeah.
Well, that is perfection. Isn't that one and the same?
No, it's not.
Let me ask a question. Well, first and foremost, let me answer the gentleman's question, whereas, you know, what are there different levels of forgiveness? And I'll just say my personal opinion is no. There's only one level, either you forgive or you don't. And, you know, I think the example before with, you know, when you have scars, you know, if you can touch that scar and it's still irritated, then it's not healed. I mean, it's the same level, you know, when it comes to forgiveness. Either you have forgiven or you haven't. Now, I mean, as time goes by, I think things get easier and easier, and, you know, I mean, your wounds will eventually heal. I mean, that scar might not hurt as much, but it's still there. You truly haven't, you know, I mean, forgiven that person. So, you know, I personally, you know, I think that's the one black or white subject that we've talked about thus far. My question would be is more so towards, you know, we talk about, you know, forgive, forget, you know, can you do it? You know, to people who have been hurt or to people who have hurt others, what steps did you actually take, you know, to get to the point where you actually forgave? Because, you know, as we all know, it's hard, and, you know, it's easier said than done. So, you know, I'm interested in knowing what, you know, exact steps did you have to go through. You know, I mean, where it, you know, communication, where it's, you know, that be counseling, you know, whatever the case was, you know, what trials and tribulations did you face, you know, in doing so?
I know literally for me, I'll answer that real quick, is that I literally, 8:59 tonight, I had to apologize because I messed up. And I had messed up at about 8:45. So I had to make it right before I get on this call with y'all about forgiveness, you know, because my wife was just like, yeah, you're going to get on that phone and you're going to talk about forgiveness. And I was like, you're right. And, I mean, literally, fellas, I think that what, you know, to answer this question, you know, the steps that I've taken is, you know, just being on this show every week, because I know now it's easy for me to, you know, ask forgiveness. You know, and even in that situation, I mean, it was roughly 15 minutes where I was like, you know what, I'm sorry. You know, whereas before, it would have been, you know, 15 hours, you know. And I would say, you know, just being on this call every week, it's helped me to just, you know, to swallow my pride, to humble myself, and to go to my wife, and, you know, when I'm in error, and to say, well, you know, I'm sorry. And her reaction, I mean, she's not even prepared for it most of the time. Like, because, I mean, she's like, you know, I mean, she literally tell me, I'm not ready to accept your apology right now. You know, because you're usually waiting, you know, for, you know, a few days or a few hours to pass, where I'm just like within a, you know, a couple minutes, I'm like, you know, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. You know, you got to forgive me. And she's like.
Oh, well, with that too, can I ask you a question on that, man? Because.
Yeah.
On that just brings to mind about the fact that if you are easily with your wife, and you know what it says, it does to make her understand that you forgive her, or she forgives you, and she's like, tonight she told you she ain't ready to forgive you yet, but you know eventually she will. But eventually, and this is just a question, brothers, does it make it easier to go out and screw up again? Because, you know, if you just say I'm sorry, it's going to be easy to for the transformation, but you got satisfied.
No.
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 It doesn't make it easier, no. And it
makes it harder.
Yeah, and I try not to mess up, and it's so funny because I'm on these calls every week, and I still mess up, you know, I get so frustrated with myself because I'm like, man, we just talked about it 2 weeks ago, and here I am messing up, you know, and it's so funny, so it actually makes it harder because I'm walking a straighter path, and then when I get off, I'm like, I'm kicking myself, you know, more so than anything, and then, you know, I got to make it right.
You know, Rodney, it's funny that you say that because, you know, Glenn and I teach the marriage course at the church. And one of the things about that is it's probably one of the things that has really strengthened our marriage, being involved in the marriage ministry, because, you know, when you teach it, you have to study it. And a funny thing, one of the things we have is we have a contract of how to fight fair. And we have, you know, we disseminate that in the class, and we teach it, and we have a contract that both, you know, parties have to sign. Well, 2 weeks ago, my wife and I had a high level discussion, we'll say, and she busted the contract out on me. You know what I mean? And it kind of brought me back, just like you said. Wait a minute, I'm teaching. This is what we're doing. This is what it is. You know, let me get myself right. Well, I know right. you know, I know what right is, because it gets to the point where you don't want to hurt your wife. You don't want to do those things that are hurtful. And I think how do you get to forgiveness? I think forgiveness is a process. The deeper the hurt, the longer the process of healing. And I don't know how you forgive without Christ. I don't know that, because before Christ, I never forgave anyone. The hurt for me, the more I have to lean on God to say, look, I want to forgive this person, Lord, but this anger keeps coming up in me, and I need you to help me. I have forgiven this person, and I need you to help me continue to heal through this, because I don't want to hold this. Because unforgiveness turns into anger, and anger turns into bitterness. And you see these usually older, bitter people, because in their life they haven't learned to let those things go, and they just turn into themselves, and they're just old, lonely, bitter people. Now, I don't want to be one of those people.
I think one of the things that we need to address with this whole concept of forgiveness is the difficult part of not being naive. Because I think sometimes that when we talk about forgiveness in some aspects, you know, you're just supposed to just wash your hands with it and it'd be done and it's a wrap. You not really think about it or worry about it or whatever. But to some degree, I mean, that's almost in a sense of saying that you're just going to put all the tendencies and things that you know about somebody to the side and continue to maybe go in it a little blindly. And just trust that, oh, you know what, they're going to be who they are and blah, 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 blah. But that's a flawed equation. And I guess the question that I'm asking is, with this forgiveness piece for those individuals on the call that may have had to seriously forgive somebody for something, do you feel that you're being naive in this forgiveness? Because that's one of the things that keeps me from really being able to truly be able to forgive, because it's like I was born at night, just not last night, you know?
Can I ask you something? Do you feel that Christ comes to you that way?
Hey, can I give you the equation real quick?
Yep.
The equation is 7 times 70. Did I say that right?
Yep.
Somebody help me with that. 7 times 7 times 70, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And
If we
think about it, it really sounds like he's saying somebody can actually make a fool of you. Because if you forgive them 7 times, 70 times, and they're doing the same thing over again, but we still have to stand there and forgive them. So there's really basically what it's saying is no matter what they do, and it sounds crazy, but it is what it is. We have to continue to forgive them because we don't understand why they're doing it, or, you know, we gotta forgive them.
But why?
Right.
The question is, why? Because they're just human, and if they don't get the point, sometimes you're gonna have to demonstrate that you mean business. I'm not gonna continue to forgive you for something and you continue to do the same thing.
Wait a minute.
It has to stop somewhere.
Hang on for a minute. Is Jesus gonna always forgive us?
Mm-hmm. Every time.
Every single time we do something wrong. Even if it's the same thing over and over and over.
That's
Jesus
not true.
Will always forgive us.
But the one thing that he's talking about, we can forgive, but we also have to put boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
I can forgive you, all right, but let's just say, you know, you step out and you come in repentance and forgiveness and ask for forgiveness. Repentance isn't just I'm sorry. It's turning from your wicked ways and walking the right path. So you can say with your mouth, forgive me, but if you continue to go about that, yes, I can forgive you, but you have broken the covenant and you're not truly repentant. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't forgive you. It just means that, you know what, there's AIDS out there, and I can't let you subject me to that any longer. We have children here, and the boundary is if we're going to make this marriage work, you've got to stop seeing this other woman or this other man. Okay, so I can forgive you, but I'm not going to open myself up like, you know, and just say, okay, well, you know, every time you come in here, you know, every Thursday night when you go bowling, you know, I found out you're gunslinging with Joe the gunslinger, Okay. You're not actually asking for forgiveness. You're not coming in true repentance.
Well, Andrew, a good point. That's a very good point. And the main part that was missing from that is that the Word of God says, it says, how long will my grace abound? Mm-hmm. How long will my grace abound? So he'll forgive you, but how long will he give you grace in that situation before he turns you over?
So here's
the thing the Word of God says, Brian. One second. Brian, the other thing the Word of God says, you know what? If I'm going to go ahead and sin because I know God is forgiving me,
there you go.
That gives me the right to continue to sin. If that's where you are, you really need to check and see if you truly have Christ in your heart. Because
there you
if
go.
You truly have Christ in your heart, you're not going to want to do that.
There you go.
That he's going to rock you to the core. So if this person is truly repentant and asking for forgiveness, they're not going to want to keep hurting you. That doesn't
mean
they won't slip. It just means that's not the desire of their heart, and they're going to continue to try not to do those things.
Yeah,
but
and
then we go back to the levels that what we spoke about earlier, the levels of sin. We'll talk about the levels of what the forgiveness is. You know, I mean, you know, I do things or you do things during the day where you ask God, God, forgive me, Lord. I did this, I did that, or whatever. What are the levels? What are the levels? I mean, we all sin every day, whether it's the level of sex or whether it's the level of financial burden or, you know, rob, stealing or whatever. You know, we can talk about this all day long. What are the levels that we ask God for forgiveness for, not about just your woman? And I know that's the topic of the night. But what about just levels of just anything that we ask God for forgiveness of every day? We have to say, God, forgive me of something.
I'm going to speak for me, I mean for myself, right? If someone cheated on me and I was in a relationship with this person or married to this person, my question as a man would first and foremost be, what are my inadequacies that would cause her to go out and do something like that?
That's deep.
You know what I mean? I mean, seriously, because, see, in our mind, we think it, but we won't say it. Because if they go to that level on you, then what is it that you're not doing to keep them satisfied, to keep them in the place where they're supposed to be, that you suppose them to be? What are our inadequacies? What are we doing wrong? See, we have to question ourselves and
right.
really think about that situation, because, you know, it could be the smallest thing that you're not doing. Women, they, you know, it's the smallest things that keep them, and it's the smallest things that drives them away. And we got to be very mindful of that.
You just summed up the whole concept of why we do this every Tuesday.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the other thing is the one thing could be is just not listening.
Yes.
Because if you notice, you can ask your woman 1,000 times what's going on, and they will tell you what we're doing wrong. A lot of times we don't listen because we're too busy doing this, that, and the other. We're in our own world, so we don't listen, and they try to give us little subliminal messages, you know, about certain things that they want or whatever the case. And half the time we just don't listen. So when that thing comes to a boil, you know what I mean? Now it's like, oh, well, what's wrong? Yeah, I've been trying to tell you all along.
Yeah.
But can't we both go, you know, a man can have that same,
yes,
same, right. You know, saying, hey, you know, she just don't spend time with me. To me, it's like I would have to, the grounds of, I would do like Andrew said, I would always forgive. But the grounds of whether we're gonna move forward or not is if we can't sit down and you can't explain to me what's going on, where the breakdown happened, and it makes sense in some kind of way that we can move forward, we're not moving forward, you know, because it's like you can't just come out and say, you know, well, you know, you're working too late. Really, you know, you know, it just because it's like it, it, you know, if it's that easy to just to fall on your face, you know, and it's like I say, it's two ways, it's both ways, you know. That's why, you know, it's really important to communicate and express to each other. But, you know, it's just, you know, if we can't talk on a level that, you know, hey, this is, the lifestyle is just getting, you know, out every day, you know, dropping the kids off, picking the kids up, something, you know, we missing each other and we're missing the connection or something. And
well, let me ask you a question. If okay, use this scenario. Say, what if communication was the blood in your body, and if you didn't do it, what would happen? You die.
Yeah.
That's what happened to our relationships. We die because
exactly.
We don't communicate.
Exactly.
Say that again, baby B.
Communication is like blood to the body, man. If you don't have no communication with your wife, man, the relationship dies, bro. That's what happens.
Well, with even a communication fact, brother, like my woman has a very demanding job. When I tell you extremely demanding, it is very demanding. So sometimes I demand attention. That's the type of brother that I am, you know.
Okay.
But when I can't get it, and I want to go down and give her a hug, give her a kiss, and you know, I'd like to see her before we go to bed and talk and make love, whatever, period. You know, it's frustrating. And not even about the forgiving part of that, but, you know, how am I supposed to feel when that takes precedence over sometime, and I don't want to go off the beaten path, but why, you know, it gets frustrating.
Hey, brother, I got a question for you. You said her job is very demanding. How is the home life? Is when she comes home, is it demanding? Is it stressful? I mean, is she cooking, picking up the kids, doing homework? I mean, is it just a stressful environment when she gets home as well?
No, brother. I try to make sure that she got food on the table. It's just us two. I try to make sure she got food on the table. And I try to, you know, we have conversations. Like, you know, tonight I have to try to have a conversation with her tonight about different things and so on. And we end up getting an argument about that. You know what I'm saying? But you know, that's just our own personal stuff. But we gonna be real about it. You know, I just try to make it as comfortable as I can. We all have our own strives and tribulations and so on. But
yeah, but I think the way I say that is because that's the most important. You know, because my wife
exactly.
Has,
I agree with you on that.
You know, very. I mean, she has a demanding job. You know, as well, probably not as demanding as your wife. But I mean, literally, I try to make it. You know, whereas when she comes home. You know, I'm, you know, doing homework. I'm, you know, packing lunches or washing the dishes or doing something, you know, just so it's not like, you know, she's still just got every, you know, just going and going and going and going and going. And then, you know, when it's time to go to bed, she's like, oh, I'm just spent. You know, I just want to go to bed. Leave me alone. Don't touch me. You know, so I think that's the first step. But, you know, I mean, it's got to be some way where, if possible, she can sort of, lessen the load at work, you know, just to say, you know, hey, you know, I really can't, you know, do that assignment or take on that project or whatever, you know, to sort of help, you know, y'all's situation. I don't know if that's even possible or not.
Well, yeah, but, you know, even with my business and owning my own company and such, you know, she's like, well, let me help you, but only time I can help you is on the weekends and so on and so forth, but her job is so demanding that sometimes it just gets to be where, you know, you just, all you want is her time, you know, and to the point where.
There was times, I mean, on this call where it sounds funny, but we end up having to set schedules just so we can get time in with our wives. I mean, literally sitting down and saying, all right, on this day, nothing else is going on. You're with me and I'm with you. During this time period, regardless of how your schedule is for the day, it's about us.
Right, right. And you know what? And that's what comes up mostly on the weekends and such, you know, where you know, it's our time, but then sometimes because of her job, sometimes, you know, she get a call and she got to do a study or whatever, and it just gets a little frustrating sometimes. And you know, I'm learning how to deal with it. I am learning how to deal with it. I really am. Because I love my woman,
You understand what I'm saying? And that goes back to what the brother said earlier tonight, in the beginning of the conversation, is that, you know, you love your woman, and that's why you forgive them. That's why you accept whatever they say or whatever they do, no matter what, but in what levels of forgiveness. But at the same time, you know, it's frustrating. It really is. I hope you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, I understand. If I could just move on right quick, I got another question for everybody. Is there anything in the marriage that is unforgettable or unforgettable?
Yeah, stepping out. Because I will tell you right now, if my wife were to do that,
stepping out,
I'm gone. I'm done.
I don't think you can really say that.
I don't think you can really say that either.
I'm feeling pretty strong about this. Being honest,
why I say that is because, you know, if you got a family, you got real estate, you know, you got obligations, it's pretty difficult to just say, you know what, I'm gone. And not that it can't be done, you know, don't get me wrong, but it's, I mean.
I would be willing to take on the uphill battle just to get that peace of mind to go ahead and take myself out of it, because I would know that if that were to occur, I would not be able to do it. So it's one of those things that's why you have a lawyer, that's why you have, you know, all the things written out and stuff surrounding your finances and your properties and investments and things like that, just in case. And in this situation, for me, I would say that's what it would be.
But
I'm just being honest with you.
What sin would Jesus not forgive you for?
But see, I think the whole thing about this, and this is what I think is a great part about this conversation, because we brought in, we, you know, definitely done a great job of, you know, talking from emotions, but also talking about the Bible and stuff like that, and really talking about Christ. See, the whole aspect of it, though, from what I believe, I think this is how we've all been taught, is you aspire to be Christ-like, but you're not Christ. So I might try to be Christ-like, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to probably make it. I'm not going to make it. So in this aspect, what I'm saying is that, you know, yeah, he might forgive me for everything, but he's Christ. I'm not.
I would definitely shoot for the
what is the jingle, shoot for the moon and hit the stars or whatever.
But you have a right, because the Bible does say that you can
remove right,
yourself from the marriage if your wife adultery in the marriage. That at that point in time you can remove yourself from a marriage. That's in the Bible. So it's not like we're saying that you're wrong. We're saying, have you checked every avenue? Is that something you want to do, or are you just jumping ship just because you know?
No, but, well, this is the thing. I would check every avenue. Well, I don't even know if I would check every avenue. I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't check every avenue. What I would do is I would just go off of who I know I am, and I would take it personal, and I wouldn't be able to forgive, because I would be the one that say, you know what? I believed in you. I believed in you enough to basically take this vow before Christ, before these people in church, for all these individuals, my mama, all these people, to make this step and move ahead. And for whatever reason, you couldn't adhere to this. So all the things that I had to sit there and listen to, all the things I had to be a part of, all the things that, you know, I had to basically co-sign you on and all this stuff, you couldn't even carry out the stuff that was required for us to be compatible. And I kind of have a problem with the whole aspect of, you know, oh, well, what is it that I'm not doing for this to occur? You know, nothing really warrants that. You know what I mean? Because Here's the thing. If we were to flip it around and we were to try to say to our wives or whomever, well, this is what you weren't doing, and this is, they would have a field day with us saying, oh, you're going to turn it around on me, so it's on me now. So it's this, it's kind of the same way, you know, and I just know that ultimately I would not be able to do it. I just wouldn't be able to do it. As soon as I found out, got wind of it, actually was able to get it addressed, I'm out. I'm done. It's a wrap.
Let me throw this on you, brother. What would be the easier route, to leave or to stay? What would be the easier route, to leave or stay?
It would probably be to leave, because if I stayed, I would make it miserable for everybody.
Well, let me ask you a question.
And that's the honest truth.
Let me ask you a personal question then, brother. I don't know you, because I'm just talking to you and whatever, but have you ever done anything wrong where you had to ask to be forgiven for?
Yep, I sure have.
Okay, well then, with that forgiveness and with your prayers and where you are within your Christian walk, don't you think that whether or not she deserves to be, because I know I've had to ask, just like I told you, just recently, earlier today, I've had to almost beg, borrow, and plead to continue on with my relationship. So I'm asking you, what makes your, it's personal. This is totally personal from what you're saying, because I can't see me not being able to forgive somebody, and I've been married twice, and in a beautiful relationship now where I've screwed up. So, you know, the same understanding is what I'm asking you from what I'm listening to you say, and I'll shut up here after I say this, is that if you've ever had asked to be forgiven for anything, why is it that you can't forgive her for maybe doing the same thing that you might have had to be forgiven for?
But we talked about levels. I think with this, I've never been at that level. I've never been at that level. So that's why I'm saying it would be one of these things where I would just be like, I'm done.
I'm human, just like you said. That's two things I've learned since I've been following Jesus Christ. Number one, there's only one true God. And number two, I ain't him. I've made mistakes. So that's all I'm trying to say, and that's what I've asked you about the levels.
And this is just a simple hypothetical question. This is a hypocrite question. What if the shoe was on the other foot? And your wife says, I'm out. And you're like, oh, you're not even going to give me a chance to make amends and to help our marriage out? You just gonna roll out on me like that?
Right.
Wow.
Exactly right.
Wow. And I say too, brother, that, you know, with what we do on this thing every Tuesday night, this is the high road. You know, we don't take the easy way out. And you know, yeah, people, you know, make decisions, you know, that's not what I'm saying. But I mean, people have to make their own decision, but I mean, you said it yourself. The high road, the hard road would be to stay, stick it out, and forgive. That would be the difficult thing. The
Can
easy way to say, you know, I'm getting a lawyer and I'm out. That's the easy way.
Can I tell y'all a story?
Please.
Go ahead.
This is a situation that I lived through. My ex-wife and I were married for 10 years, and almost from day one, she told me, if you ever cheat on me, I will leave you. Okay? And, I mean, that was just straight up. If you ever cheat on me, I will leave you. I wasn't cheating on her. I wasn't thinking about it. About 7 years into the marriage, I ended up having an affair. Now, because I knew that what she said, if you ever cheat on me, I will leave you, it didn't give me a way to come in and say, this is what has happened. Okay? When it all came out, you know, I went through years of, well, first she said, you know, I'm leaving. Then she said, no, I want to work it out. Okay. And I went through years of bashing and horrible and this and that. And then, about 3 years in, she said, I'm done. I'm leaving, you know, and she had an affair of her own and all kind of stuff like that. And when you make those kind of edicts, if you do this, it's over. What you end up doing is you put your spouse into a situation, if they ever fall into that sin, they cannot be honest and come to you. My wife today, whom I love tremendously, there's nothing that's going to destroy this marriage. There is no deal breaker. We are married until the end. And whatever happens, we are committed to work through it. There's no, if you do this, I'm leaving. And if you take that edict, believe me, Satan's gonna hear that too. All right? And if you leave that as, if you do this, it's over, you don't give your spouse a chance. If they fall, you may be perfect, and I don't know. But if they ever fall in that way, they can't come to you and say, this is what's happened. I'm falling, I've done this, and I want to make this marriage work, and I need, you know, to come up to you honestly. You see, if you take that hard line, if you ever do this, this marriage is over. And I've been there. And then I knew, and I couldn't speak. I couldn't talk. I felt guilty as all get out, but I couldn't talk. And 2 years later, it came to light. And, you know, and part of the problem was now, on top of doing this, now it's the lies, because I knew if I ever did this, the marriage would be over. And I didn't want the marriage to be over.
Let me ask this question with that scenario. Thanks for sharing that scenario. Not trying to downplay it.
But where did it ever become, I guess, acceptable to state what your needs or what you require or what you would appreciate keeps a person from still being honest? That doesn't make sense to me. Because I get what you're saying. If you take a hard stance and say, if you do this, then. But that still doesn't mean that you shouldn't be honest.
No, it's not justifying it, but if you don't want the marriage to end and you find yourself have fallen in a certain area and your spouse has made an edict, if you ever do this, the marriage is over, then you know you don't want the marriage to end, so now you don't have a choice.
But then why, I guess, what you need to do, I guess it goes back to the communication that we were talking about earlier with the whole thing with, you know, this conversation with forgiveness or whatever. I guess it would be something that you wouldn't be able to forgive if you made this hard stance. And as the spouse or the person looking to marry this person, you need to say to yourself before you get married, huh, they've shared with me honestly what they're looking for. Am I able to do this? I mean, it just seems kind of crazy.
Nice to say you would never, ever fall. It
What's
really
that?
Is, and I hope and pray that you don't. Okay? I hope and pray that you don't, and I hope and pray that your wife doesn't. But when you make those kind of edicts, you don't give yourself a way to work through any that kind of issue.
But is it a way
okay,
to work through
saying,
it, or is it an out? Because I kind of feel,
there,
I guess I...
You know, there's a way to work through anything. I believe if you have an affair, your marriage is over. Okay? That doesn't mean you can't build a new marriage with the same person. All right? If you break that commitment, that covenant, I believe the old marriage is over. But I do believe if both of you committed, you can work through that and build a new marriage, and it can even be stronger than the one that you had. I don't believe that infidelity means the marriage is over. And if you make those kind of edicts, what ends up happening, I lived through it. What ends up happening, when you may think you're so strong that you will never, ever, ever do that. And I found out something. You can never say never.
That's the truth.
Okay,
yeah,
because what my ex-wife said to me and all this, and she said she would never do it, and she ended up doing the same thing.
But
you
know what?
Never say never.
I got a question on that. Even never say never. You can have the perfect home, and you know, and most of us do, and we got the perfect women or whatever, and just now I was listening to you, Big Brother. Why do we even do it? You know, I mean, because, I mean, we got the perfect, I'm not being, now this is real conversation, this is brothers on here talking. My wife, my woman can do everything that any woman on any video or on anything that I watch on TV or anything that any hooker could give me, I got right at home. So my point is, you know, and it's, I was just thinking about it, and she's asked me even before. She said, why? Did you have a relationship with her? No, I didn't. It was just a freaking fling. Why? You know, so the question is, why? I know we're human, but, I mean, you know, I shouldn't even have to think that way because everything that anybody could have given me for within 5 or 10 minutes of a fling, I could get at home 365 days a year.
Flesh is
and that from. Comes back to the same thing. That we have a fallen nature. We have a fallen nature. And none of us have a pure heart. None of us.
So here's the question. Do we really use these two words, forgivable, forgettable, with our vows?
Well, first of all, I don't believe you can ever be forget. You can never forget.
No.
That's craziness, okay? We can reach a point of forgiveness, and the deeper the hurt, the harder that is to do, and the longer it takes, and the more you've got to prove to that person that you have repented and walked away.
Well,
back to my man's question, I think that, you know, the answer is very simple. I mean, the flesh is weak, bro, and, you know, we have to, you got to guard yourself, and, you know, when little lady at work or somebody's, you know, giving you the eye or whatever, you got to say, hey, you know, you got to sort it. You got to guard yourself because, trust me, I mean, you sound like you're speaking firsthand. I mean, it can't happen. You got to acknowledge that, you know, I'm weak, you know, even though we, you know, we talked about, you know, striving for perfection. But again, as you say, I mean, we're human, we're fleshly. You just got to guard yourself.
I think that's the bottom line, Rodney, because what I have found is that I have realized that I'm weak, and I've got to put myself in positions that I don't have to say no. If I put myself in a position where I got to walk away from some fine honey laying there half naked begging me for it, that's going to be a hard call.
Hard call.
A hard call. Now, some of y'all are so strong, but I'm going to tell you, boy, I'm standing on that tripod, and she's saying, come and get it. That's going to be a hard call.
Well, Andrew, let me ask you this, though, brother.
You're
let me ask you this. How long are, I think, you know, we talked about levels of forgiveness, but and just straying a little bit off topic, but how long are you going to take that position where you should be able to be, you know, strong enough to walk away from if it's laying in the bed, right? I mean, eventually, you shouldn't always, you know, and I don't want to use the word crutch, but, I mean, it should be a point where you say, you know, I don't need that, you know, that crutch, you know, I can, you know, because I probably can walk away. You know, I know I can walk away. You know,
well,
that, I'm gonna
tell you, I have found out something. I have found out if you put 6 pounds of crack cocaine on my desk right here, I got no problem. It could stay there till it rotted. You put three naked women begging me for it, I got an issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's my weakness. I've realized that. Okay, I've had to fight that my whole life, and I've realized that. What I've realized also is that my marriage and my wife is more important than that to me, so I'm not going to put myself in that position to have to walk away from that. All right?
Well, you know what? I can agree with that.
Huh?
I can agree with that too, brother, because there's times, and I've been in the field of entertainment and sports for a very long time, and a lot of brothers, even now, because I'm so close with my girl, although I've had my iniquities and so on, and my, you know, and I'm not perfect, you know, everywhere I go, I bring my woman with me. They don't even invite me because they know she's coming and they want to do their thing. I don't put myself in that position. Do you understand?
I'm not going out to lunch with her. I'm not going out to dinner. I'm not meeting with her. Anytime, and there's a little voice in my head that now I will listen to because I've fallen. Okay.
Exactly.
My marriage is not worth it. It's a piece of ass. Excuse my language. It's not worth it. At the end of the day, it's not worth it.
But
so
how long?
Me,
I don't know how long.
It might be the rest of my. I might be 85 years old, looking at that 22-year-old honey, thinking, "Damn, I could hit that." I don't know.
Can I say something? Please don't take this the wrong way. But if my wife came to me and told me that if she went with her girlfriends to see some male dancers, and they was in a private room, and three male dancers butt naked came up to her, and she told me that she just could not resist, that she is jumping all over that thing, me and her would have to get a divorce.
Okay.
Straight up and down. If she was in a situation, and I'm just using that it could be a bachelorette party, it don't matter. But if she tells me that if she is around three naked men saying, I want to, you know, make it happen, and she can't control herself, she and I do not need to be together.
Wow.
Shut it down.
Shut it down. She ain't nothing else to talk about. So we can sit back.
I know me, and I don't want to put myself in that position when that thing is
sitting there. That's the key right there. I have to walk away. That's the key, I think. That's the key right there. It's like putting yourself in that position. If I know, I'm like you, Andrew. I know I'll fail. So you know what I'm gonna have to do? It's like I can't do certain things. I see the warning signs at the coffee machine. I see, you know, I see it. You know, like I said, you know how to fail now. If you done failed before, you know how to fail.
You ain't that strong.
You don't end up in a bedroom or at a football game and say, hey, I end up here. It's like, no, I can't do that. I can't do that because I know it'll go to the next level and to the next level, and then we're in a room somewhere. And,
that's right.
You know.
Ain't no accident.
Let me tell y'all a quick story.
It's not an accident. It's not an accident. You ain't walking down the street, slipped on a banana peel, and stuck your dick.
Yeah.
I mean, that ain't no accident. You see it happening.
Keep your language right.
Fellas, language, yeah. And pardon me, Mr. Host, but I got that, man.
I didn't know any way to say that, man.
Yeah. But, pardon me, Mr. Host, but I think that, I know this is off topic. We might even be into open mic segment, but I just got to say this because, you know, I had a similar situation, and not with a female, but with pornography. And y'all know we had a discussion a couple months ago. I don't even remember. But, you know, I was weak, you know, and it wasn't, you know, I'm not saying that I'm, you know, I was, you know, got all kinds of pigs and stuff like that, but I was weak when it came to pornography or whatever. I had my little issues or whatever. But, you know, when we talked about it, when we worked it out, I got past that. I moved past that. And my man Tony can vouch for this. I was in a hotel room. You know, I was on travel. I was on business. You know, I look at the HBO. They got the joint coming on. Oh, you know, I'm good. You know, I'm about to watch, you know, a little, you know, flick or whatever. And, you know, nobody's around. My wife, my kids, you know, nothing. I'm cool. Nobody's watching. I'm safe. You know what I did? The joint, well, I had the channel on. It was about to come on at 11 o'clock. I cut the TV off and went to bed. And I called Tony the next day. I said, you know what? I couldn't let you down. I couldn't let y'all brothers down because I'm stronger now after the two conversations we had about it, you know, that I turned the TV off and I felt good about it. I wouldn't have that. I wouldn't even come that close anymore because I've gotten stronger. And that's what the point where I was trying to say is that how long are you going to be weak? And don't take this the wrong way, but how long are you going to be weak in that aspect? And like Tony was saying, you know, I can walk away from three naked chicks right now today. I mean, that's what we should be striving for, is not to continue to be weak in whatever area it is, whether it's that or another area, crack cocaine or whatever you say it is. But how long are you going to continue to allow yourself to say, oh, that's my weakness. I'm just going to, you know, just give it up. I can't control it. I'm going to just be me. I mean, how long are you continue to do that? I think that the whole goal is to strive to say, yeah, having those three naked ladies sitting on your table and you saying, you know what, I got a beautiful wife at home, beautiful family, peace. You know, y'all can get off my table, get out of my office.
Well, if I can add in on that, and right now it is 11 o'clock, so officially our conference call is coming to an end, but this is what our little segment called Open Mic, where we can just talk about things not pertaining to the topic. For everybody who is on and may want to get off now or anything, thank you for, you know, being invited and coming in on another evening of talk show and finding out how we as married men can help each other out. But now, to my story, I told some folks this. I don't know if I told everybody this, but I went down to Florida and I met up with some of my sister's friends, and they picked us up, and it was for her 40th birthday party, and so the husbands were hanging together, and then all the wives were going out together. So they picked me up from the airport, and they said, we're going to take you to the barbershop. Like, okay, they must be hanging out watching the game at the barbershop. But come to find out, the barbershop is a barbershop / pool hall / strip club. All in one. And I've never seen anything like this before in my life.
The old priest said,
oh, it's on. If I live down here, you'd never find me anywhere else. I'm gonna get a haircut and a lap dance at the same
time. And then shoot some pool afterwards.
Right.
And That's all day. Did they have some wings up in that joint?
And I've never seen a.
You saw the address was?
But I felt so uncomfortable because of where I am in my life that it didn't. It was nothing to me. I end up not trying to be rude. I end up just going outside and talking to folks that were standing outside.
Mm.
Now, needless to say, I walked around a club and got some pecans. Now, nothing. But before
Mr. Head of Household, you would have been in there getting your lap dance, getting your haircut.
Look, I had just landed. I would have been broke.
Right.
I probably was trying to. figure out what the VIP talking about.
But that's my whole point, fellas. It's all about getting stronger. And we all got areas where we can. And, you know, that's not my weakness. I mean, so that's why I'm speaking on it from that level. But I have other weaknesses. I'm not, you know, but that's what I'm saying.
That man's number one weakness is that pot.
Exactly.
You know.
Well, you know, just not that pot, because, you know, we can go back to Adam and Eve or Adam and Steve or whatever y'all, whatever it is.
No, Adam and Eve, brother. Yeah.
I ain't Adam and Steve on this call, brother.
No, absolutely not.
Adam and
unless you want to talk about some issues you're dealing with.
No, don't go there. I'm strictly quickly. Don't go there. The point of the matter is, and we're just listening to the hang-ups and whatever, and they're just going to strip clubs or whatever. Now, I understand what you're saying about being uneasy, because that don't turn me on at all whatsoever. It just doesn't turn me on. It just, matter of fact, it's actually a turn off. But you know, being strong is when the young brother said earlier about you gotta move past it. If you've never had a late in the midnight hour where your girl or your wife or whatever you can't sleep, you can't eat or whatever, because you know you're trying to ask for forgiveness and so on, you know, that's a horrible, horrible feeling. So when I'm listening to you say, young brother said earlier, that what is it that it has to come to pass for you to stop doing it, or what your weakness is, brother, that horrible feeling that you have that you can't go to sleep, you can't eat, you don't know what to say to your woman, or what, that's enough for me to know that, you know what, I don't need to do that no more.
Got that right.
Good word.
Good
Real
word.
Good word.
Very good word. Anybody else?
I gotta agree with that. When you realize how much you've hurt her, you know, you don't want to keep doing that.
I mean, but let me ask a question though, and back to what I was saying earlier, to say and trust me, I understand that we all have our things that we have to deal with. We all have the stuff that we have to deal with. But what I'm talking about is just the bare essentials of marriage. And when you say, okay, there's certain things that I have issues with other women, how does that make your wife feel when she's like, okay, my husband, he loves me to death. He loves being around me, but if another woman's there, he may get weak and hit it. I mean, think about that.
Well,
I mean, you know, I mean,
the golf club and hit them in the lip.
You know what? I think, and my wife and I have discussed this, you know, in deep detail. And, you know, one thing that she knows is that I love her more than anything, and I'm willing to protect my marriage by not putting myself in those positions that I have to make difficult calls. See, for me, the protection is I love my wife enough not to have to put myself in those situations. And I will not put myself in those situations because in the past, all right, I haven't been strong enough to walk away in all those situations. Now, not with my current wife, but I know me. And you know what? It's not worth it to me. So to protect my marriage, I don't put myself in those situations. I'm not saying that if I was in that situation, I would, but I'm saying that I don't want to put myself in a situation that I have a problem with it. I don't want to put myself in a situation that I'm sitting down with a woman at lunch and she starts giving me those eyes and I start getting that feeling. I don't want to do that because I love my wife that much. So
you just
I don't
said the
myself...
key word. You just said the key word. You said you don't want to feel that way. And I think that's what we're getting at is that we're – you know, and you know, just don't, I'm just talking about. You should be striving to get to a point where if she's making eyes at you, it don't affect you like it used to in the past.
No.
I mean, am I right?
I'd like to be able to say I would get to a point that I would never look at a woman and say, damn. Okay.
No, I'm not saying that.
I mean,
you never get to that point.
I mean,
you never get to that point.
I have a situation.
Hold on.
I have,
go,
situation that happens.
The goal is to get to the point that we don't have those thoughts.
Right.
Okay, that's the goal. I mean, because you know the word says that you know lust in the mind is the same thing. So the goal is to get to the point that I would look at some you know fine honey to me, and I wouldn't even notice she was a woman. Okay.
No. We're not saying that.
We're not saying that at all. Go ahead, Tom. Hey, Andrew.
Yes. If we were to look at a woman and not notice that she's fat to death, something would be wrong with us. I mean,
Some brothers have reached that level. But listen,
you can look at a woman, because I do all day. I see, yo, she is fat to death, but I don't want to hit it.
If you're talking about that, I've gotten to that level because it's
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's a point where your visual, you can't help your visual.
I've had people tell me that if you were really a Christian, then you wouldn't notice that naked woman.
Well, I don't understand that. That goes
to the whole naive part again.
I was in the Dominican Republic,
and I was walking on a topless beach with my wife and a pastor friend of mine and his wife. And he
on a
topless beach in Dominican Republic. This is how their beaches are, okay? And as we walked by, you know, some fine women with everything there, the pastor made a comment about the women and how, you know, here they don't wear tops and it's acceptable. And my ex-wife said, I knew he wasn't a Christian. If he was a real Christian, he wouldn't have noticed that woman's breasts. So in some people's mind, that's what being a real Christian is. See, I haven't reached that level. Some of us have. I have not.
I don't know if that is.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody on your phone.
No, absolutely not.
Christians have feelings and make love to their wives.
I think that the whole point, what I'm trying to make, is that I was not comfortable being pornography making me weak.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what I'm getting at. I think that you have to get to the point where, you know, like Tony said, it's like, yes, you're going to notice beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful. Women are beautiful, period. I mean, you're going to notice them, but it's not like if you're in a, you know, sitting next to them and the situation is right and she's, you know, like, let's go upstairs or whatever, and you can't say no. I mean, to continue to stay in that state of weakness
and
a beautiful woman is something you got
to
work through.
I don't want to add in because that's not where I'm at. All right, where I'm at is I'm not going to put myself in a position because it's not worth it, and I don't want to hurt my bride.
It's not really about, for me, it's not even really about hurting my wife. It's just like I don't even want to be, after something like that, I've been in that situation, and it's just like I couldn't pray. I couldn't do any of that stuff, you know, sincerely, because it's like, it messes up your relationship. And, you know, my wife reaps the benefit of the relationship I have with God, you know.
Say that.
And it's like, I'm just, you know, just like Roger said, it's like I'm just, you know, I get disgusted with myself when nobody else in the room if I'm doing something wrong, you know. And it's just like, you know, looking at a woman wrong, and you know, you get to the point where you're like, your thoughts, and you know, you just, like I said, I love her, but she reaps the benefits of the relationship that I got with the man upstairs, and that's why I'll be talking to my, you know, making a comment about my brother, say he a Libra. It's like, hey, my pyramid says God is first, you know,
right.
You know, so.
Well,
she's after that. She reaps the benefits of. That's how I'm able to forgive her, because it's like he's first, you know. And I've been in that place where I couldn't really forgive, and I realized that because I put my wife in a position kind of higher on a throne mm-hmm. that she couldn't be at. So it's like I can't. When I do that, yeah, the balance goes out of order. So now I'm like, oh, if she does this, I'm never going to do this, and I can't forgive her. No, but if it just switch it, it's like, yeah, you know.
Yeah. And, the brother just made a good, not to cut you off, brother, but for me, my little pornography, whatever you want to call it, it wasn't about my wife. It was about me.
Exactly.
You know, it was about me. You know, like you said, I was disgusted with myself. I got daughters, man. You know, I was like, what am I doing, you know, with this? And I was like, you know, after being on, you know, the two calls that we had, I was like, you know what, forget it, man. And I feel better about it. You know, my wife didn't have to catch me and say, you know, you stopped that. I mean, it was me, and I feel better because of it. You know, so it's not about her.
So where do you think Apostle Paul stands in all of this, man? You know, about things that he did he didn't want to do, but yet he had an ultimate relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that we all have places and weaknesses in our lives, right? It's not the fact that you don't want to acknowledge that. It's not the fact that you don't want to stay in that place and continue to do it, but the fact is that you should always acknowledge what it is that trips you, because the moment that you lay it aside and act as if you forget it is when it's going to come back and attack you.
Yeah, most definitely. When, you know what I realized, right before I fell into this adultery situation some years ago, the moment I realized that I had failed, it wasn't a struggle anymore. Cause it's like I was like, man, in the first weeks, and I was just like battling in my mind. It was exhausting to sit up there and just to think all the thoughts I was thinking, and then you know to have God, I feel like I had a little devil on one side, an angel on the other side, and it was exhausting. But it was a fight going on.
Because the Word of God plainly says,
So man thinketh,
so is he.
Yeah,
you know, the things that you allow to enter into your mind, the things you allow in your ear gate, your mouth gate, you know, and all of those different gates that you have to protect. But all I'm saying is that you cannot forget the fact that you have issues and that you deal with things, because the moment you do that is you know, I mean, the Word of God plainly says that Satan is going throughout the earth as a roaring lion, seeking to see who he can devour, okay? And why does he say as a roaring lion? He said as a roaring lion because he's taking on an image of, and a lion is very territorial, and what he does is he marks his area by urination. Mm-hmm. So for all of us, how many of us have been pissed on that he could just walk past us and you know, and smell out stench and not even have to worry about us?
Mm-hmm. Say that.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, so we just need to be mindful, man, that, you know, it says we're going to be sinners until the day of redemption, okay? Not to say that you have to stay in it, but we're going to be sinners, okay? And it said if anybody said he don't have sin, he's a liar and the truth is not in him.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just like my situation, it wasn't even, you know, I had to acknowledge the fact that I had an issue with pornography. And it wasn't even, like I said, I mean, it was minor. I mean, when you really put it in perspective as to what other people are doing, but it was still an issue.
Yeah. Well, guess what? You're helping somebody else right now, bro, because somebody else can't admit that they have a problem with pornography.
Say that.
That's why you can never lay it aside and forget it. You can never do that. You need to talk about it regardless.
Yeah, and I haven't been back since. You know, since we had the calls, man, I ain't been back. And I feel so good because my wife didn't even know, you know, that I was even peeking, you know, whatever you want to call it, or, you know.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is that, you know, I worked, you know, me and God worked on that thing, and it's over with. And I'm stronger for it. And like you say, you know, my wife benefits from that. My daughters benefit from that.
You go.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Rodney. I have had issues for years with sex and lust and pornography and all that. And to be able to have a wife that I can lay things out and talk honestly about my struggles. Some of y'all talk about how, you know, how difficult this would make it for her. It is a tremendous thing because it strengthens us. And we talk about it, and we talk about the issues, we talk about the struggles, and the shame isn't there because it's not a hidden issue. And because we can work on it together, it has strengthened our marriage, and it doesn't give Satan the hold on the power because it's in the open, and we can talk about it. And that's the beauty of it. And I know some of y'all have, you know, don't have the issues that I have, and that's great, you know, but if you're honest, there's issues you do have. And you hide it under the covers instead of bringing it to the light of day you bring it to the light of day, especially if you can have a partner, a wife, you know, that you can, you know, be honest with, it doesn't give it the power as if it's behind the scenes.
Hey, Andrew, how many people do you think really recognize the fact that the issues that they deal with, 9 times out of 10, things that were generational, you know, that came back, that came through the family somewhere. It says it goes from generation to generation to the next generation. So it may skip a next generation, hit this generation.
My
stuff started
when I was 8 years old, Brian. My grandfather sat me down. He was going to make a man out of me, and we'd watch porno videos and look at the Playboy magazines.
There you go.
Okay?
Right there.
From 8 years old, I've had that fight and that struggle. And to be able to have a wife that I could sit down and say, this is my challenge.
Yeah.
This is my struggle, and I need your help and understanding. Instead of having her look at me as a disgusting human being, to be able to say, you know what, this is his struggle, I've got my struggles, and I'm going to be there for him, has made me want to be so strong for her.
There you go. And, Andrew, I'm glad that you really bring these things out, man, because all of us here as men, one thing we really have to understand, and like the guy said about his daughters and the helps of his daughters, we have to understand that the seed reproduces itself after its own kind. Meaning that your child don't even have to be around you, but because it's your seed,
say that.
It's a spiritual thing, man, and it's going to attack them if you don't break that generational curse.
And the whole thing is, Andrew, you're doing the right thing by acknowledging it, putting it
there
out.
You go,
in the forefront. That's the whole thing. But the point is that 10 years from now, you still shouldn't be sitting at a table like, yeah, here's my magazine. Yeah, I mean, really, it should be getting to a point where it's like, man, you remember 10 years ago, I was really caught up in that thing. But look at me now. I'm looking at the other side
of you,
brother.
But I have felt that victory, and it's a wonderful thing because it doesn't have the power over me. But
yeah.
I know that I'm not that strong that I would be able to say I've conquered this and I've whipped this. And I you know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to know that I'm doing better than I've ever done. But
yeah.
I'm not crazy enough to think that I've whipped Satan at this.
A good scenario, Andrew, you don't want to send a crack addict to a crack house to do a witness, right?
You know. I got a question. Can everybody hear me? I got a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Are men now, to me, I have a genetic gene that I've been trying to, I can't get rid of, but I've been trying to keep a hold of. I'm afraid to be in a room with a woman by herself.
Wow.
I get nervous. I'm afraid to be around a woman. And when I talk to women now, I always bring up my wife first.
Yep.
That's my way of releasing that stress is to make sure I show my ring, that I speak about my wife in our conversation. And it just helps me release some of that stress that I'm holding, because here I am, I have this good-looking young lady in front of me, or sitting by me on the train, who just starts talking to me, and I know it's ready to happen because it happens.
Yeah.
And I get nervous. I'm at the point now that I have so much faith in my wife and my relationship that I bring her up on purpose.
Yep.
To remove myself from a situation.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that does that?
Can I tell you something, Pete? This is a funny thing. I find myself in the exact same situation. I talk about my beautiful bride all the time. I was in K&G's men's store, this must have been about 2 months ago. And I put some stuff on there to buy, and I had to take something back, and there was a lady in front of me, and the person was ringing us up. And I don't know, the lady had to wait for some kind of price check, and she says to the cashier, she's ringing my stuff up, she says, oh, you can ring my stuff up with him, with his stuff. I said, oh, no, you can't. I'm a married man. I said, I'm happily married. And she said to me, well, if you don't say nothing, I won't say nothing. And I said, but I'll know. She said, but I won't say anything. And I was like, damn, that's bold. You know, and I said, no, just ring my stuff up. You know what I mean? And she said it jokingly, but she said it as to say, hey, buddy, you want to tap this, you can tap it. And I've never seen no women like that. I mean, I didn't grow up with women like that, you know.
Well, Andrew,
I mean, I couldn't buy me a piece.
The whole thing, Andrew, is that the devil knows your weakness.
That's
you
right.
Know? And the whole thing is that, of course, he's going to have beautiful ladies, you know, giving you the eye, you know, whatever. Until you break that, then it's going to be nothing, you know. And again, like you said, everybody, we all got our issues, you know. I mean, that's not mine. That's not saying I ain't got some other issues. But, I mean, the reality is I'm looking at the other side for y'all brothers where you can sit next to that lady on the train. And you ain't even, I mean, you forget your wedding ring that day, and it's not even, you know, you're not stressed. It's no anxiety. I'm praying for the victory on the other side for you, brothers. You know, where you
I'm praying for your victory over that homosexuality you've been having.
Man,
but,
come
I mean,
on,
you
man.
Know, we all got our issues. That's all.
Yeah,
come
but,
on, man.
But see, I had another one, man. I'm telling you, man. And,
no,
and I have to use.
Yeah, I know.
I have to use this as my guard because, I deal with these basketball games, and I deal with, Ayana's friends want to come over and hang out with her, and Quentin's friends want to come out and hang out with him. So there was one night where I took one of Quentin's friends to church with us on a Wednesday night, and took him to class, and they had a great time. Well, I was hoping Sharon would be home before I got home. And then I knew by the time the mother came, everything would be good. Now, needless to say, the mother looks good. Go ahead and put it out there. But my nerves were so bad when Sharon was not home. And I had to fight her in out of the cold to come get her, you know, son. And I was freaking out. In my mind, I was freaking out, like, Lord, please, Sharon, walk in this house. Please, please, please. Because my genetic gene runs through the family. Back in the day, it could have been something different.
But
I'm at a different place now.
Yeah, but head of household, what I say is this, man. It's, you know, the analogy I give is just like, you know, it's like a, I wouldn't say guard, but it's like a crutch. You know, because you're broken, and, you know.
And it's like that devil always trying to get in.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like how long, you know, at some point you got to put the crutches down. At some point you got to walk normal. Once that bone heals or once that area heals that is broken, you got to put the crutches down. You know, your wife could be, oh, yeah, I'm running late. I'm going to be 3 hours late. And you'd be like, oh, yeah, it's all good now. You know, you won't have that anxiety. So, you know, I think that. The goal is to put them crutches down, you know, eventually. I mean, that's what we're striving for. That's what we're talking about. And, you know, and that is the ultimate victory, you know, to say, you know, 5 years ago I was caught up. You know, I couldn't even be in the same room with a woman. But now it's like, oh, you know, you're like, oh, I can be in a room with Halle Berry, whoever you want to call it. I mean, it's not a problem, you know, so.
Yourself.
Hey, Rodney. Hey, Rodney.
Yeah.
Rodney, let me ask you a question, man.
Yes,
and I'm just curious because I hear a lot of eyes and I've got this issue and my wife is my strength and I got all that. I mean, I hear a lot of that, but when that victory comes, who gets the praise for that?
Jesus Christ.
So if he gets the praise, why aren't we consulting? I'm going to get a little deep. Why aren't we consulting with him right now to deliver us from these issues?
Wow.
I mean, it's just a question, man. It's just a question. I mean, because I had the same pornography issues with you as you had. And I grew up as a young child watching Midnight Blue. I don't know if y'all from New York, Midnight Blue came on at 12 o'clock. It was straight pornography. It wasn't on cable. It was on regular TV. You know, as a young 6, 7, 8-year-old kid watching it. And I struggled with that for a long time. But it's gone now. I got on that knee. I said, take it away from me. I said, I'm not strong enough to do it myself. Take it away from me. And then I got to the point where I didn't only want to not let my friends down that I talked about getting over it, but I didn't want to let the Lord down. You follow me? Because I couldn't go back and face him again.
and say, I know we talked about this, but here I am again asking for forgiveness for this same thing over and over again.
Tony,
you see what I'm saying?
You got to tell the video store where you find the old videos, bro.
Oh, on my...
on your little iPod or where, something spam.
Yeah.
And what happened?
When you had opened up the computer.
Yeah, after you broke that thing.
Yeah. I broke the thing, man. I got, you know, delivered from this. I found an iPod that I had, and I actually had a couple of videos stashed on the iPod. Because I'd stashed from different places. So anyway, I turned the iPod on, and bam, you know, because I was trying to get some I don't know what I was looking for on the iPod, but anyway. And I saw one of my little videos. So I hit the video, and I turned it on. And I watched it for five seconds. And then I deleted it because it did nothing for me. There was no arousal whatsoever. And if I was going to hide the video, trust me, it was a banger for me at that point. But when I went back at it again after getting delivered from this thing, it did absolutely nothing for me. There was no effect whatsoever. So I just deleted it and just don't go back. But I couldn't do it by myself. And we sit here and we talk about I struggle. Don't make it an I struggle. Make it his struggle. Leave it at the altar and be done with it. And I know it sounds easy, but you actually have to put yourself in a situation where you pray on it and say, take this away from me. And then you make yourself accountable for the fact that when you go back into your prayer closet the next morning, are you taking that back in there with you? I chose not to take it back in there with me.
There it is.
Good words, man.
I chose not to take it back. And that's what kept me from going back into it.
You see what I'm saying? You know, we're examples that it can be done. You know, that's the only reason why I tell y'all that, because you can't break that thing. If that's your issue or whatever your issue is, I mean,
right.
It can be done, period.
Can be done.
And I can third that because I was on that same call. I think it was my topic.
Yeah.
I brought up
yeah.
this pornography thing, and I guarantee you, I haven't watched it since. I was told to throw them away. That's what I did, and I haven't been concerned about them because I never was really into the internet type of watching. It was the old school VHS tapes and the real deal stuff. And once I threw them away, it was like a release. It was like a release. It was just gone. I didn't need it anymore. But, you know, I was good. I'm at home. I'm not going anywhere. I'm good upstairs. Why do I need this?
It works.
It gets to a point where it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It gets to a point where, you know, you're tired of being the master. Well, help me out, because you know.
You're tired of being in a fantasy.
A slave. No. Brian, help me out. Brian, you still there?
A slave to whatever has you mastered.
Yeah,
that is it. My man. Say it one more time. A slave to whatever has you mastered.
Yeah. If it controls you, you're a slave to it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And those are good words to live by, people. Mm-hmm. Those are words to live by. Why would you want to be a slave to anything?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's going to help somebody.
Think about that. We don't even have to be a slave to Jesus. He gives us all a choice.
There you go.
It's all a choice.
If you allow Jesus to master you, you're going to be a slave to him.
Exactly. It's a choice.
It's a choice. That is.
You know
true.
What I mean? So we have a choice to sit there and say, okay, I got these three naked women in front of me. I'm going to take turns, or I'm out of here. This is not what I want.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We got a choice to get up and walk out. We got a choice to say, okay, well, I'm not going to put myself in this situation. That may be working for whatever's best for you, but how long are you going to continue to run from avoiding those situations?
Exactly.
You're going to find yourself in a situation where you got to make a decision. My question is, what is going to be the decision that you make when it comes to that crossword? You're going to be able to get up and walk away, or you're going to sit there and struggle and say, man, what am I going to do? Lord, give me some help.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, it's got to be a point where you just walk away.
Another thing
that we miss so often, man, I know this may sound a little crazy to y'all, right? But the Word of God plainly tells you,
in all things give thanks.
Yes.
Regardless of the situation, regardless of what it is that you're going through, if it's good or if it's bad, he said, in all things give thanks. So now I thank you, Lord, for my struggles and the things that I'm going through, but I'm also thanking you, Lord, for taking me out of the struggles that I've dealt with. You know what I mean? So we have to be thankful regardless. We cannot allow the situation to overcome us. We have to lay it on God and God alone, and give thanks. In all things, in everything, regardless of the situation.
In everything.
If you study the Bible, you read the Bible, you look in it, and you'll see where the people who were believers in the Word of God, and but they were believers, but yet they denied God's power thereof. And if you read the Bible, plainly tells you that he turned them over into lust of the body, being lovers of the women and being lovers of men being lovers of men and women being lovers of women. And if you read that scripture real close and study that scripture, you'll see the reason it was done because they were not thankful. Sounds crazy, but it's true.
Wow, that's strong.
Yeah. He turned them over to their own lust. And he turned them over, you know, to become lovers of men and lovers. And that's where homosexuality started. It's right there in the Bible. What is it? I can't even remember the scripture. I know it's in Timothy somewhere when it talks about the lovers who became lovers of men and lovers of themselves, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, plain and simple. Plain and simple. That's where it started at.
Good words, fellas. Anybody else got anything for open mic night?
Yeah, I signed off and signed back on because I was sitting there trying to figure this one out. Going back to the forgiveness piece, I don't know. I'm sure we probably moved on from that.
No, we can bring
but my
it back.
My question with the forgiveness piece is, how long do you go before you actually forgive? I mean, is it one of those things where the forgiveness is supposed to come immediately, or does it take time? I mean, and
don't let the sun go down on your wrath, man.
Sun go down on your what?
Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Meaning
on your
that whatever you're feeling against that person, if you carry that thing into the next day, then you're in violation. It says be angry. It said be angry, but sin not. It's not a problem being mad, but don't
right.
sin.
Let me ask this question.
Yeah.
Is it wrong of me? Well, I already know the answer. I don't even say if I got to start out with that, then I already know the answer. but I'm gonna ask it anyway, because this is why I'm asking the question. Is I'm sitting here, and you know, I spoke a couple weeks back about the whole forgiveness thing, and I said when I met this person and we get into finally being able to speak to one another, it's gonna be a misunderstanding on site. I guess what I'm trying to say with the whole forgiveness thing, and you say, you know, if you pretty much go to sleep with it, you know, then you're in the wrong. This person is like really, really Christianly, you know, that I think we're having this disagreement with. So as I'm learning all this stuff, it's starting to make me say, okay, what type of bootleg Christian am I dealing with that we are experiencing some of these difficulties with things, and this person is not being able to carry some of this stuff out. Yet this person has always been like the voice of supposed to be reason with all the things that are godly.
But the difficulty is, right, if you're not a Christian, if you're not walking the walk, the Word of God plainly said that his word is foolishness to those who don't believe. So if you're having a struggle in that area where you're not a per se believer right now, then the things that she say to you will be foolishness. So you will call it bootleg because a lot of things you don't understand.
Well, I think it's difficult because it's like I don't know. I just got to work on this forgiveness.
I'm just saying, I mean, it would sound bootleg to you, especially if you don't have any understanding of it. If you don't have any understanding of it, it's going to sound bootleg. It's going to sound like foolishness. You know, a lot of stuff is going to sound like foolishness to you if you're not there.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I was there before. My brother told me that I was going to be, I was going to serve God. I said, God who? You feel me? I wasn't always in Christ. I was a hoe. I was tricking. I was doing all kind of nonsense. You know what I mean? I was out there doing my own thing,
and I was my own God. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Yeah, but I guess what I'm also sharing with this, asking that question about how long, because that's always been one of the most difficult aspects of being able to truly grasp the Word of God and the Bible and all these things, is the fact that supposedly the individuals that have the most to say about it are the ones that seem to be the least likely to follow what it is that they're talking about.
But it's not about them, and I think that, you know, and let me, you know, brother, don't take this the wrong way, but how many weeks have we been talking about forgiveness, just in general, you know?
I would say it's been in conversations here probably for at least a month and a half.
Absolutely, and, you know, you just basically, the question you posed to yourself, you literally answered your own question. So, you know, it comes a point where you have to grab hold of what, you know, we've talked about the last month and just apply it, because I think that, you know, it's like, okay, they've answered that question. Let me give them another scenario. It's like almost making excuses why you should not forgive this person or that situation rather than just embracing it and running with it. I mean, just try that. Just try going to that person or call an individual. Do whatever you got to do and say, you know what, I don't really want to forgive you or whatever. I mean, get in your mind, I'm going to forgive you, and see how that feels rather than coming up with different scenarios and all this and just having this constant struggle with the fact of forgiveness. You know, just do the opposite. Don't struggle with it no more. You know, just like Tony said, lay it at the altar. You know, I don't know if you were on then. It's just like lay it at the altar and just run with it, because you've got the tools needed to start forgiving some folks in your life. I really believe that, as much as we've talked about forgiveness, and tonight's topic was about forgiveness, which I think was timely, and Patrice was been wanting to talk about it for weeks, but I think tonight was the night. But I just say you just got to, you know, you just got to take everything that we said and just start applying it and see how that works out, versus trying to say, well, this is the reason why I shouldn't forgive this person.
Right.
My question, do you pray?
Yeah.
Do you ever ask God for anything?
Forgiveness and release me from all the prisons that personally bind me.
Mm-hmm. And do you know that a lot of times those prayers doesn't reach the roof, man, when you have unforgiveness in your heart? You know that, right?
Yep.
They don't reach the what? They don't what?
It won't be heard if you have unforgiveness. And I mean, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, a lot of times it's what hinders you. It's what hinders your prayer.
In other words, he's saying that if you put it in God's hand and you're still holding on to it, then he's not going to answer until you give it up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That
he can't deliver you something that you're not willing to do yourself.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Got to give it up. Let it go.
Like I said before, we're just people. We're just people. We don't have, I mean, the power is definitely in our prayer. But when we kneel down and ask for forgiveness from the Lord, it's as if we've never done it. You see what I'm saying? And if the Lord can say, it's as if I accept you, I renew you, as if you've never done it. If the Creator can do that, then who are we that we can't do it? You follow what I'm saying? To somebody else.
Any good, sir?
If the Lord has forgotten it, who are we to hold on to it? Who are we to hold on to it?
He threw it into the sea of forgiveness. You know what I mean? He remembers no more, you know?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And we holding on to it like, oh, yeah, well, I ain't going to forget it. I mean, but who are we?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
You know, if the Lord forgot about it and wiped the slate clean, then we got to do, I mean, less or more, but we'll never do what he can do, but we should at least try to model it and say, okay, well, you know what? Lord gave you a fresh, clean slate because you got on your knee. And guess what? You may not even know if the person that wronged you got on their knee and asked for forgiveness, because they may never share that with you.
Right. And then the main thing you have to understand, I don't know you, obviously, but the main thing you have to understand is that we all need to understand that whatever it is that we say, whatever we speak things into existence, and these things become real. So when you say something, you know, you say you hate a person, only when it comes out of your mouth, and then you cause that was spirit to come to reality is when you actually act upon it. See, it only becomes real when you act upon it. You understand what I'm saying? See, it comes out of your mouth, but if you don't act upon it, it's not real. But when you act upon it and you carry it out, then what was once spirit is now in the flesh. It's brought to life. Wow. And you start living it. So you got to be mindful of the things that you say. And the things that you say will determine where you are. Because you say you don't like somebody. And I mean, I don't like him. I never will like him. I don't think I will ever be able to get past it. Only because you said it and now you're acting upon it, it's real.
Mm.
It doesn't become real until you act upon it. So it's just a suggestion in your mind. It doesn't have to be that way to have that forgiveness, I mean, unforgiveness. Only when you act upon it.
And that, I believe that's true in any occasions. Because going back to different forgiveness, there is I told Rodney and Tone this last week that, you know, I had a grudge over 20 years against
right.
my father on different things that I kept deep inside my soul.
Yeah.
It was eating at me every single day.
Yeah.
And I had to get the nerve up to not go and forgive him, but forgive myself for putting myself in that situation.
Yeah.
And he ended up getting married. And what was my downfall is that was the last straw for me is that I had a choice to never speak to my father again or find a way to release this anger that I had built up in me. It's when he got married again and he asked another man and not his own son to be his best man. And I didn't even get an invite to the wedding. You know, and I said, wow, you know, you calling me out right after you got married saying, oh, I got married. I felt like he did that out of spite. And then to find out the other things that happened, it was too much for me. But I ended up making the decision to forgive him. I said, God, please forgive me to allow me to get rid of this anger against my father. And we've had one of our best relationships ever since then.
Awesome.
So it can work and it will work. It's just that once you wash your hands on it, you cannot bring it back up. That goes back to the topic that somebody said earlier, that you can never forgive. And I said you have to be able to forgive, because if you don't, you're going to be holding that grudge in your body and it's going to eat away at your soul. If you don't give that, you don't never have to forgive that person, but you can ask God to allow you to get rid of that hurtfulness that was in your body, so that you don't have to be concerned about that the next time it happens, where it will come out. You never have to tell that person that you forgive them.
Let me tell you where I'm at. Let me tell you where I'm at. If you do something wrong to me, seriously, don't ask me for forgiveness. Ask God for forgiveness. Because I belong to him. And the way I feel is, though, as long as I serve him, he's got my back. So if you do something to me, that's like doing something to him.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So you don't have to ever come to me and say, I mean, you could say I'm sorry or whatever, but you need to get on your knee and learn how to forgive, period. You see what I'm saying? And that's kind of where I am with it. I definitely don't have an issue anymore with forgiveness, because that's the first thing I learned when I became born again. Is I have to forgive in order for me, because I had a lot to bring to the table. I had a lot to bring. I had a lot of baggage. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people that have wronged me, I wronged them, a lot of grudges, whatever the case may be, a lot of wrongs that I had to right. You know what I'm saying? But once I did that, like I said, I left it at the altar, and I became his, right? So now I look at it as if you don't really owe me anything. But you need to get on your knee and just ask for forgiveness from the Lord. You know what I'm saying? I think that that's the most important thing that we have to do, opposed to focusing on the person. Just like Patrice said, he had to ask forgiveness from the Lord because of the way he treated his father. Whether he forgave his father or not, he still had to bring it to the round table.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No question.
And that victory is sweet, ain't it, Tom?
Oh,
victory is sweet.
I can tell you how sweet.
Victory is sweet. Victory is sweet.
You know, my dad's up here more. He visits with the kids more. He calls more. It's not that that spacing.
Yeah. And I'm not even walking around with a knapsack no more.
Right.
Before I used to have luggage. Got rid of the luggage. It's not even a knapsack. I might get on a plane with just the clothes I got on my back. No more baggage. I just left it alone. Drop the baggage. If we carrying that baggage, man, it's, if you notice, if you got a lot of baggage, how hard for is it for you to walk? You carrying all this baggage. You can't even walk right. You can't even walk with your head up.
Well, that's right.
Because you so worried about dropping this baggage. Drop the baggage and move on.
Wow.
That's right.
Yeah.
Drop the baggage.
It's not your weight to carry.
Not your weight. That's his weight. That's his, but mine. That's the beauty of it. That's what I learned. That's the it ain't mine no more. It's his.
That's right.
Let him do what he want to do. Whatever he got planned for, let him do what he got to do with it.
There
I'm going to give it to him.
I volunteer to carry that load for you.
He going to carry the load for me. I ain't got to carry it no more. I belong to him now. I'm in the biggest gang. You know, some people want the burger, whatever they want. I'm in the biggest gang there is. You know what I'm saying? You need to come see me. You need to come through him first. That's how I look at it.
Wow. That's.
You got to come through him to get to me.
Yeah.
Because I left it with him.
It's
you know,
so
when
true.
People say, I mean, certain things set you free. When you get to a certain place where you have given your life over, and say, this, I don't want mine no more. God, just take it and do as you please. Then you understand certain things that it's not me to hold a grudge to anybody because I just leave it with him and let him deal with it. And listen, my thing is I don't want to be that person that has to deal with the Lord in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to be that guy.
That's right. That's right. You're so right. Have any of you guys ever read the scripture where it says, I Paul, he calls himself a prisoner of Jesus Christ.
Mm-mm.
No, okay. Mm-mm. I have to get the scripture. I'll bring it up next week. I miss y'all talk last week, man. I wanted you to know Andrew told me about it, and I would have loved to have spoke. I mean, I've been in on that. I actually had to work that late shift, and my phone didn't work on there about the mixed family thing, man.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I would have had a whole lot to say because I'm definitely in the mixed family. You know, my. All of my children, he has stepchildren, you know. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We know
yeah,
about
go
that.
Go back and listen to it, brother. It's on.
Yeah. I'm going to have to.
Yeah. Go right on talk to you and pick up the last 10 calls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Click on the link, and you can listen to them in full.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to get somebody to set me up on that, man. Like I told you, I'm not all that crazy about computers. I never was, man. It's because when I first started using them, I would open the computer and the first thing came popping up was pornography, man. All these. That was a deterrent for me, man. So I never really, after that, you know, you open up something, it looks so innocent. The next thing you know, all kinds of nonsense.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, man, this is not the kind of tool I need. So. So I kind
of. Hey, Peyton.
Yeah.
Hey, Peyton, did you find, I think it was last week, we talked about a safety net during the week. Because you said that, you know, from Tuesday to Tuesday, it's all right, but then there's a struggle to the next Tuesday. Have you found anything in between the week to kind of recharge those batteries?
I'll be honest with you, it's still just pretty much just some of the things I've been doing, working out, running,
okay.
Taking more time to just sit quietly during the day. I've gotten to a point now, you know, at least once during the day, I'll close the door to the office and just sit there. I'm not on the internet.
Meditate.
I don't even know if it's really meditating. I'm just sitting there, just taking a chance to just
just think to myself, you know, about who knows what. But I'm just taking that time to just have it for me. You know, actually, I talked to my my father this past holiday, and he told me to read, what was it, Romans 8, 28 to the end, I think that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at it, it talked, and he just said it to me, just, read this, you know. And when I think that was correct, and, you know, in it, you know, it said a couple of things. But more importantly, I was sharing with him some stuff about the forgiveness thing as well. And he told me to look at, what was it, Matthew 6, I think that's it, 14 and 15. And I got a chance to, you know, really look at it and hear the things about forgiveness and not hear, but read about it. And
if
you know,
forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you.
Yes.
But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Boom. That's what my dad gave me. That's what he gave me. He gave me that because we had talked about so many things. And the wild thing about, just to answer the question about finding the pieces along the week, that safety net, it's surprisingly, but my dad at different points, I don't know if he's a weekly thing, you know, but at different points he'll throw stuff out there that just, I'm just like, wow, okay, you know, because like I've said before, I didn't grow up with my dad. It was just my mother and I. But as I've gotten older, my father and our relationship, I wouldn't even say it's gotten better. We just talk, you know. And the things that he throws out, he does a really good job of just listening to me. And I guess that's many-fold because, I mean, he's never really listened to me or heard me say or watched me do anything growing up. So I guess he's just kind of, in a sense, making up for lost time, you know. But he listens to me, and then in the process of listening to me, you know, he's throwing this stuff out like drinking water now, and it blows my mind because my father was. I remember my interaction with him when we did interact growing up. My father was far from Christ and church and religion. You know, I mean, far from it. You know, I mean, and to hear him now be able to throw these things out, you know, and to just listen and just say, well, just listen, look, read this or go to this. I'm just like, wow, this, you know, he's pretty versed in this to be able to just have them at your fingertips to just listen to somebody and throw them out, you know. I mean, because I know I am not there, you know. So, like I said, I'm just paraphrasing and hoping that it sounds familiar if people were to listen to me, you know. But I think that's one of the safety nets that's really helping me right now because, I mean, that right there, Matthew, I mean, that was big to hear that because it really did kind of put it in perspective. And I hear what you all are saying, and I hate to kind of belabor the point with this whole forgiveness thing, but it is like a burden. I mean, it's heavy. You know, it's really heavy because I think, you know, as we said earlier in the conversation tonight, you know, in order to even get to the whole concept of forgiveness, you have to be angry. And before you even get angry, you got to be a little bit hurt. And before you even get hurt, you, like, you know, it's layers to it. You got to have really an appreciation or a love for something. And when that appreciation or that love gets kind of tainted or swayed or buckled in some fashion, you just sit there and you're like, "What? Wait a minute, how did we get off this path that we had carved out? I thought we had an understanding, you know? But for whatever reason, it seems like it went amok. So then you hurt me. I'm hurt behind that. And then the anger comes in, and then hopefully, you know, we can work around to the forgiveness thing.
But you ask the question yourself when you said it's heavy. But, you know, like the guys just said, it's only heavy because you carry it. You don't have to.
But I can tell you, this is another thing, too, fellas. Like, this is a thing that I guess I never threw this out earlier tonight. But, you know, when you think about the whole wise thing, not even just the wise thing, but just forgiveness in general, what if you just don't want to do it? What if you just don't want to do it? I'm not forgiving. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to forget. I mean, I know if you read we talk about the word and all that. Yeah, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. But you know what? I choose to be wrong.
But that,
I chose
that
wrong.
I believe we talked to somebody last week that had so much anger in them that it was killing. It was killing their emotions because they could not get past that point. Whew. And you don't know how bad that will do to one, your personality, any relationship that you have, regardless if it's your wife or outside of wife, that you're just going to get to the point where you're just going to snap. Because you got all this negativity energy built up in you because you would not release it and forgive.
Yep.
It will never work.
Hey, Pete.
There was. Is Pete still on the phone?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Mm-hmm. Did you call your phone?
And I apologize.
Peyton, did you call your grandma?
Yeah, I actually did. I listened to you fellas about that, and I dialed her up. I called, actually, because what I did is I sent a couple calls out that day. I hit my dad up first, and then after I got off the phone with him, I said, you know what? They said, just dial her up. So I dialed her up. My uncle picked up the phone, so I got a chance to speak to him. I couldn't tell you the last time I talked to him. And then I got on the phone with my grandmother, and that was Denise. I mean, that was just hilarious, to be honest, because she didn't know who I was until I had to say the full name, and they say again, Junie's boy. You know? And then we had that conversation, and it was generic. But I called, and I got an additional surprise. My Aunt Gloria was there. Now, I haven't spoken to my Aunt Gloria, man, since I was probably like 6 years old, 7 years old.
Wow.
So, I mean, I got the trifecta, in a sense, by just placing the call. And I'm going to be honest with you, I felt good about that. I felt good in reaching out. And it wasn't like I was expecting anything in return. To be honest with you, I didn't have any high hopes for the call. I wasn't expecting anything. I just said, you know, hey, I just wanted to give you all a call and wish you a happy Thanksgiving and the holiday season. I just kept it real basic and generic as if it was a business call. How's everything going? I sure hope. And, you know, whatever. But, I mean, it was good, though. I will say that. And
you made the phone call, brother.
Yeah, you know, hey, and that's the one step, you know.
I made my phone call, too, to my
your sister?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I left a message. And I even
called back?
She texted me back and says that she may have plans, but she was going to see what she'd do, and she'll talk to my sister. My sister came up for Thanksgiving, and I actually told her what I wanted to do. Now, she wasn't excited at first. But she said, because, you know, I wanted to do it, she would bring it up if Keisha wanted to come up here.
That's what's up. Mm-hmm. It feels good, brothers. Go ahead,
Tony. Hey, Peyton, I just want to say one thing to you, man. I know right now, I mean, we've been talking for a while, just a month on the phone, and, you know, we've gotten to know each other, which is a good thing, by our voices and our situations and everything. And I see that now you're going through your spiritual walk, which is good. You're getting back to that walk. And I'm inclined to believe that you have a spiritual guide with you, and that's your father. And the reason why I say that is because last week when I talked about how I got reunited with my mom, and she's been that spiritual guide for me.
Wow.
And just like the things that you say that he can just spit off a Bible verse or talk to wherever you're coming from, and he learns to listen. The reason why it's like that is because you're going to trust him before you trust the next person that you don't know. And there, he's your biological father. You see what I'm saying? So to get a spiritual guide that is your biological parent, to me, is a blessing all by itself. You see what I'm saying? And for me, when I get on the phone with my mom after not talking to her for all these years, and she kicks it to me, it's beautiful. It's like music to my ears because I know she would never lie to me. So whatever she tells me from the word that she knows, you see what I'm saying? For me, it's the gospel, and I run with it.
and I need some kind of spiritual guide in my walk. We all do. So your father is probably that person for you, man. So I would hold on to that and, you know, be calling him every 2-3 days out the week and be like, Dad, what you got for me?
Yeah, that's powerful.
Yeah. You know,
sound like
saying?
Dad would always have something for you, too, where he's well-versed.
Well,
yeah,
exactly.
He seemed, I'm not going to lie, he does seem to have it, you know, and I don't know, it's really nice, you know, and I know.
Well,
it's
nice to know, because you got to remember, you were at a crossroads a couple of weeks ago, as you stated on the phone last week, about religion.
Yeah.
And now here, your own father.
Yeah, because, I mean, I was talking to him, and I think, you know, part of it also is that I wonder how much of it actually stems probably with my whole inability to forgive, not forgive, you know, I don't know. It all probably stems from, in some aspects, our relationship and the things over the years. Because there were a lot of empty promises, broken promises, standing outside, standing by the window, waiting for him to show up, not show up, this, that, and the other, the bus going to come to this game, didn't come to that game. I mean, there were a lot of things. So, you know, and then factor in all that stuff with my grandparents and just essentially just that whole side of the family. Anything that's related to my father and that side of the family is just off.
It's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy how God's got that sense of humor. He sent that same God back to you to be your comforter. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, man, you know, and the scary part about it is, at the beginning, it was almost sickening.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, wow, you know, this is...
But this is also a way for you to be the bigger man and do the opposite of what he did to you with your kids. And, and one is making sure that they have a great relationship with your father.
Mm. See, and I'm not at that. And I will say that that's not a level that I'm at yet. I'm not there. I'm just working on me, my dad, and I right now, you know, because I'm going to be honest with you. When my father calls his house, or he calls here, he never speaks to my wife, never. I don't let him speak to her, never, ever. He's it's just not gonna happen. At this point, yeah, we're not to that level yet. We're gonna probably get there, but not yet.
Yeah.
Because it's just one of those things where I'm just like, okay, you know, we've got a ways to go, and I feel
what's
like
going
and
your
I think
way?
About. And the thing about it is my wife kind of respects that because she knows that right now it's imperative and it's important more so for my dad not to work on this. You know, it's not really about her. So that's why she didn't get bent out of shape about it. She don't get hurt about it. None of that. She's just like, y'all need to do what's necessary for you all to have a relationship. And, you know, everything will be what it needs to be. So, but it is wild. I never even looked at it that way. As what you said, sending them back to be my,
comforter.
I guess, my journeyman.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and I think you made a good point, too, earlier about, you said you spend that quiet time, you know, and brothers, you know, that's still on. I mean, that quiet time is precious because, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you cut the TV on, you're running around, the kids are screaming, you know, you're talking to your wife or whatever, you get in the car, you turn the radio on, you get to work, you got the internet on, people's talking. You get back in the car, the radio's on, you come back home, the TV's on, the internet's on, the phone is ringing. I mean, it's so much all day long, every day. We need to unplug from that stuff and just, you know, I know sometimes I just get in the car and ride to the engine. I mean, nothing.
Me
I mean, it's just like, and it just gives you so much clarity, you know, and reflection. It's like, man, you know, with all that noise in the background, all that feedback, you can't get that, you know, you really can't focus in, you know, so I think, you know, that point you made about, you know, bringing up that, you know, getting that quiet time in, I mean, that's precious, you know. And,
precious.
You know, take it up a notch. You know, cut the radio off on the way to work or cut the iPod off if you run with it or whatever, you know, and just cherish it, man. That can be, you know, your time, you know, to really work out, them, you know, that forgiveness piece or, the peace with your father and his family or whatever. You know, you just had that time to just work that thing out with nothing in the background, no feedback.
Wow. Wow. Good words.
Very good words.
Good words.
Anybody
well, moderator?
Well, hey, man, I got a wife upstairs, but I'm enjoying this call a lot.
Yeah, the call was solid tonight, man. Solid.
Yeah, yeah. But I believe this is another fantastic call. I believe we got a lot out of it. Again, I learned something every single time, especially about forgiveness, how to forgive, and that they do match and they do balance out, and that we cannot do one without doing the other. That is a known fact. But with that said, it is time to bring this thing to a close and be ready.
Well, let me say something before you do that real quick.
Okay.
What I got from the call is that we started out talking about forgiveness, I guess, in the marriage. And then towards the end, we really realized that it's really not about in the marriage. It's really not about our wife or our kid or whatever the case may be. It's about forgiveness, period.
Yeah.
And how if we're able to just learn to forgive, then it's not going to be an issue whether we're going to forgive our wife or our child or our neighbor or whatever the case may be. Because they all fall in the same category, just like the gentleman said earlier. There's no gray area in it. It's black and white. Either you forgive or you don't.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we can't discriminate with that. We have talked about tonight is just how we can be better people and just be able to forgive. And I think that that's the gist of it all, just to learn how to forgive and be done with it.
Good words. P-Town, you got to log back in to stop the tape. I think they cut you off or the internet link.
Oh, yeah? You don't see
yeah.
me anymore?
Mm-mm.
I'm sitting here just
I don't see anything.
Talkshoe is like, y'all boys just running me ragged on Tuesday night. That's why they don't let us start until 9. They like, I know these boys go until about 1 o'clock in the morning. You know,
Does anybody else have a good feeling about this call? That they want to express how they felt about how the call went tonight?
I think the call is always healthy, man. You know, it helps brothers, in growing spiritually, you know, mentally, physically, man. It's like a daily medication, you know, that you need to ward off problems. And I think it's a good thing.
So, and just a reminder, guys, that we do have the same thing for that lady in your life or your sister or whoever. Same topic, have a female moderator. Call ID is different. That's the only difference, but they work the thing out too.
Time machine, she wasn't feeling it, right?
And thank you for bringing the new folks on. I believe we had a couple new folks. If everybody could just bring in one additional person and let them feel your emotions and how you feel about this call, that will help us out tremendously. And you can see how your growth and your relationship with your friends, and maybe you may be helping them through a situation that they don't even know about, and they come to you and talk, but you say, hey, get on this call. Don't just take it from me, but take it from the others that are going through the same thing that you're going through. That's where we get on the call, and that's where we end up helping each other, where we don't get this emotional burst or have to go and spend money on a psychiatrist or anything like that. We're here to help each other out and save our marriages.
You know what I realized? I'm just going to say this really quick. You know, I was just sitting here and thinking, from all of these calls, what I realize is that there's no shortcuts. There just aren't any shortcuts. You really have to be involved in your development through Christ and the Word and just wanting to get better. Because if you try to take a shortcut, you're bound to fail. And I think that's what I continue to get from all of our calls, even though sometimes I can get repetitive with certain things and figuring out different ways to
pray scenarios and keep coming at it instead of just doing what I know I need to do. But that's what I get from it. You really need to read the book. There's no cliff notes for it, you know. You need to read, you know, and that's how you learn, and that's how you get what's necessary. And then also you need to surround yourself with people that can hold you accountable. I mean, how many times on this call do we hear people say that, you know, I get to this point or I've had this and I feel like, oh, I'm not going to do it, not just for myself and my family, but also because I don't want to let people down. And
yep.
I'm on this call every Tuesday. And that's the positive thing about it, is that there's no shortcuts. And it's just, there's just no shortcuts. And
I'll tell you one thing that I hope that some of the other voices start chiming in, and it's not always, you know, a lot of the same guys. You know, I like to hear.
I said that last week.
Did?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay. Okay, I wasn't here last week. Like I told you, I missed a call. But, yes, I think that, you know, more people need to chime in because, you know, if the ones that that refuse to chime in, you know, they're not getting the freedom that a lot of other people are gaining, you know, from actually speaking situations from out of the darkness into the light, man, you know, to get freedom, you know.
Yep.
Right. And that's why we need the emotions in these calls and the truthfulness in these calls, because the truthfulness is what men are seeking. And I think with that, just like, you know, I believe, you know, we had the new callers, they wanted to get part of it. It was exciting to them. A lot of people aren't at that moment yet when they ready to just speak, but it will happen. It always happens. And we just keep, as moderators and part of this head of household, we know that they will break out. They have no choice. They're going to have to speak up.
And you know what? And also, Peyton, just like you said, man, there's no shortcuts, man. And you know what? That's what I love about the born-again Christian. The born-again Christian could be that same dude 10 years ago sitting on the stoop with me getting high. You know what I'm saying? Same dude going to the club trying to figure out which honey he's going to get with. That same cat that when I sit down and talk about God, he can say, remember back when? You know what I mean? It's real to me. It's real to me when you come into the table with a testimony.
Well, that's right.
You see what I'm saying? I can look at that testimony and be like, man, I remember them days, man. But I'm glad I'm down. I'm not there no more. You see what I'm saying? So here, we've already taken the shortcuts. We've tried every shortcut there is. We tried to dip and dodge and do everything else, and then we just got sick and tired of being sick and tired. So now we've turned it over, and we're on the phone, but we the same guys, but now we got God. You see what I'm saying? So what comes out of our mouth is actually the truth.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So we're at a point where we don't really have to lie about it because we've already been out there lying. We already know what it's like to be a professional liar. So now we hear just kicking the truth about it. You know, so you know what I'm saying? So when somebody gets on the phone and talk about, I'm going to take my ex-girlfriend to the football game, and it ain't no big deal. We know that's some BS. We know, what you mean you're going to take your ex-girlfriend to the football game? I mean, you know, when people try to get on the call and just say anything to men, we're going to stop you at the door and say, that don't make sense to us.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to come back again. You see what I'm saying? And that's what you're going to get from us. We're not just going to let anything come through this phone call. Because I'm afraid that somebody else on the call might hear it and think that that's cool, and it ain't.
It's not.
So it's our responsibility to check that BS at the door.
That's right. It is okay on this call to agree to disagree.
Exactly. But don't come with no mess. You got to man up on this thing.
Every answer is the right answer.
You're going to man up on this thing. And, I mean, it is what it is.
Funny part about y'all talking about that girlfriend thing. You know, the funny part about it, I actually got a phone call today from an ex from 15 years ago. Isn't that funny?
Mm.
Wow.
That happened, man.
Hey, how you doing?
And the funny part about it is, she do look like Halle Berry.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, man.
Halle Berry, Halle Berry.
You got your own Halle Berry right there at home, man.
So, you know that's right, and I'm cool with it, too.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm cool with it, yeah. Cool.
Yes, sir.
All right, so I guess it's an early night. 12:22 is early night for us.
Don't say that.
Early night. All right.
Call catch y'all me. Next week.
All right, later.
I'm going to end this call right now.
Yeah, stop it, and I'm going to hang up this line. Tony, hit me back.